be conducting this meeting as one of his vice president responsibilities. Let's go around the room and introduce everybody, beginning with Linda. We'll go clockwise.
I'm Linda Alderman, reservations clerk and secretary of Deer Springs Ranch. Anything and everything that you say is being recorded at this time, just so you know.
Nancy Brayton.
Paul Brayton.
Ranch manager.
Joe Bose.
I'm Brent Homer.
Ben Clarkson, vice president.
Bert Clayson, president.
Ed Balinski, board member.
Now we have some visitors with us. Any of you are willing to come up to the table if you'd want to? Let's start over here with Danny.
Dan Clarkson. I'm just interested in buying a lot.
Kathy Clarkson.
Joe Clarkson.
Joe Bose.
Candy Bose.
Dan Screen.
Jody Akers.
Welcome everybody for being here. Hopefully we'll get another couple of members of the board to be here. But yeah, with four of us, we do have a quorum. So let's progress through the agenda.
John is on her way.
Okay. We don't plan to see John Harris or Dave Turley. Any word from Dave?
Okay.
I thought Dave said that this weekend it would work for him.
Yeah, he did, but I
had a pass.
Yep.
Right here.
Right there.
Did you have somebody who called for a prayer?
No. Whatever you want to say.
I guess I can offer it.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this day for our opportunity to get together and to meet as members and friends and supporters of Deer Springs Ranch. We ask for Thy blessing to be upon us as we conduct the business of the ranch, that we may be inspired to do the things that are right and in the best interest of the members and the families that have invested there. We ask for a blessing to be upon those members that are traveling or may still be here, that they will be watched over and protected. We may all travel and return to our homes in safety. And we ask for a continued blessing to be upon the ranch and all those that visit there. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Did everybody get a chance to look over the minutes of the last meeting?
I think we approved them via email, so it's a lesson to that.
I have a motion to ratify and officially accept those.
A motion?
Motion made by Ed. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion made and seconded to officially ratify and accept the minutes of the July meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Areas of responsibility, we'll just go through and let the board members report or ask questions and cover topics as they come up. Road and Fire Protection, Brent Fulmer.
Well, we have lots of things to discuss. I just thought we'd take this down.
Okay. Okay. That's it.
Yeah. I just jumped to four.
Okay. Then let's go to, okay.
We should have everything duplicated.
All right, I see where we're duplicated. All right, Linda, financially, where are we?
Okay, underneath your agenda there is the financial report. The budget for transactional and then the... Sorry. Here's a literally dirty stuff. And the balance sheet. If you're having trouble reading 3 and 4, I made extra copies of those because the pages where the paper gives it print those out.
Did we get these out of order or
it's a problem.
Now, we start with expense, and then we go back to income on page 2. And then back to expense on page 3. I think that one may have got, before you hand number, it may have got out of order.
Oh, okay.
Should start with income on page 2.
That's a real possibility.
Okay.
13245, right?
Two one three four five. So on page 2, the income looks like totally budgeted $164,000 of income, and we've got $114,000 of it in, which is basically 70%. That way, everybody else is reading it.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the things that we're going to need to do, I think, is kind of go through a budget that will review that will get us through until our next assessments would come in probably February. And so,
oh, it all looks pretty good. I mean, the big difference is right back up there and just under assessments paid. To go for those first three or four numbers, I'm just curious, under total assessment paid, what is assessed fee 60%? 60-40, okay, that's just splitting between our capital and our operating.
Yeah.
But total, we have budgeted $138,000 and we've only got $98,000.
Yeah.
Right, and if you look at the total income, the total, the third line up from the bottom, we're $50,000 short of our budget. So, obviously, we need to address some of our spending associated with our...
You're
going
to put the budget.
Yeah.
That's some of them that are getting further behind this. So we made a lot of progress in the last... last winter in, bringing... past the assessments current, but
yeah.
This is showing we've got a pretty big chunk of people who have not paid 2010 assessments.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's not so much the old stuff, it's just this year.
The economy and everything people struggling with.
Yeah.
So we're 39,000 short on assessments, and then we're another 11,000 short on, some of these other things that we anticipated bringing in.
It would be 49.
Income.
We haven't
any of the projects. Oh, okay.
Okay, 40,000. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then
50. So anyway, maybe next week, Ben and I and Paul can get together and kind of go through some projections to make sure what we think we're going to need for utilities and payroll
Would you like a report on monthly
projects
so that you can add that to the process?
Yes.
Okay.
And I know Larry had some bills that he was going to try to get to me today. So we just need to kind of gather everything in and look at it with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that we're going to manage it through the end of the year.
Larry told me he didn't think he'd make it to this meeting.
Has he sent you any bills?
We also have some work that was done by Val Cram over the time. Is there any way to give credit for some of that towards his date?
I think it could certainly be. I've been invited Val several times to talk to me about that, so...
I met with him, and I have a list.
That would be great.
Would that be okay if we meet with you and do that?
Yeah, sure. Be happy to review that.
Okay, through the expenses, though, where we are so far, anybody have any questions or any places that we're grossly over or concerns?
We have gone past on a couple of them.
Well, there's a couple that, there's a couple
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, there's a couple I see, like tools, that is, you know, we budgeted $1,000, we spent $1,700, so, you know, maybe some need for some extra stuff that was unexpected. More concerning to me maybe is the bank card merchant fees. We were budgeted $400, we spent $800.
That shows up because of a double charge situation that I've been working with on merchant services. And
so that may get, so that's when we take,
that will come back.
We accept credit cards for reservations and stuff.
Yes,
and
they said we double charge somebody, they charge us fees and took back our assessment on that one and then charged us also for another one. And I've been working with them for months on this situation, so that will come back.
Okay.
To normal.
Good.
And then we had extra tractor and grader repairs.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
We did have extra tractor and grader repairs. But we had a lot of snow and crap this year.
Those repairs are really difficult because just to have them come out is over $200. It's expensive to have them come to the ranch to work on them. And I don't know what weighing the cost of taking it in versus having them come out with these. That might be something to look at because the repair itself is not very much compared to what it costs to have them come out once or twice.
I have a question. The store sale? I know I actually did more than $840.
I don't understand that. I know I looked at that and I thought that's not...
You're back up on income?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just was looking at this store thing and I know that I have put in more than $848. Because according to this, we've brought in less than I spent, and I know that that's not the case.
You can go through some of those receipts with Linda and see. I don't want to do that. But if you two could get together and look at that, try to make sure we get that tracking done.
Can I ask Linda a quick question? The Starbend still charging us $49.99 a month? Dummies. Number one. They're so screwed up.
I run into that once in a while.
They gave us the extra bandwidth that they're not charging us for, so out for them, I guess.
I just got a thing in the mail for a free installation for HughesNet.
Okay, any other questions on budget and actual?
What is this security? What's included with that?
Cameras that we
have ordered. Yeah, we've done some motion sensor cameras on the ranch, try to track, you know, some of the comings and goings and after-hour stuff. And
if that's been profitable.
Yeah, and we have got some things, however, whoever vandalized Dale's truck, we missed by that much.
Oh.
But you're still using it and checking it.
From the county one. The county has asked that we make a copy, burn it onto a disc, and get it to them for whatever investigations they got going on.
So anyway, we're burning the disc for the sheriff's department. Yeah, we figured that that's well within our parameter to be able to do it. You know, private property, private camera. We're not interfering with anybody's rights by taking a picture of them.
Okay.
So why does the county want it?
The sheriff, the same day that Dale's truck was vandalized, somebody vandalized the restroom up at the top of Crawford Pass. And so anyway, they after they came out and investigated, they thought they might be able to start tracking, you know, problems that come through the gate, and or you know, at least have a record of who's going through there.
When you look at the number of people going through that gate, there's quite a bit of traffic going through that gate. Kind of leads me to something else. I just talked with, you know, hunting season, so the bow hunting season starts tomorrow. I don't want to lock the gate yet until rifle season, right?
That's kind of what we agreed with the Forest Service.
Yeah. I've gotten complaints already about traffic and everything throughout the ranch, people scoping out. Did you see that?
Put up some notice, though, so that people that are going up there...
Well, I heard that there used to be a thing in the paper saying that that gate's going to be closed, and then, you know, when you show up, there's a sign there up top, so you don't drive all the way down to the gate and it's locked. But something else, too, is did you see the picture on the camera of that sign from the BLM? They went through and put in those little markers on the side that says now entering public lands.
But there's no sign that says leaving public lands.
So you know, you're going to have kind of a discrepancy there. People, hey, they're on public lands because there's the stake right there. Right next to the ponds, there's one. Out towards Leaf Spring, there's another one. Just kind of in that section of public there, but it is a private road, but I don't know if we need to put a sign there that says now entering private property. Because it, you know, it doesn't say leaving public land, it just says entering.
Good idea.
Well, we could even possibly have signs and posts on the back of theirs, because wherever they are determining they want to claim one side of it, we would have it so that you would see it going the other way.
That's actually a good idea.
That's irritating to have to switch the four or five times up through there, where each section's only, you know, a half mile or a mile or so of road before it changes again. All these
you know, there's one right next to the ponds there, and then there's another one at Leaf Spring, just in that section of public ground.
And there's been some, someone had someone on their lot, and he told them, you're on private property, and he said, no, I'm not. There's a sign that says this is public land.
Yeah, we need to
monitor that problem.
Yeah, that's an issue that's going to, if they're going to do that, we may need to still meet with some of the people at the BLM and try to find something that works. I mean, they have the right to claim it, but all that's going to do is confuse more people and cause more problems. So,
so they've put signs or these little things
Yeah.
through that?
Yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah, they did all over the place.
Yeah, what he's saying is that from here to here mainly. Okay, you're not to the end of, you know, just below the fish pond, that mile and a quarter of road, and then I'm not sure they've got these other ones. But again, if somebody comes, reads this, and then turns off and turns into private property, there's nothing to sell.
It's non-monument areas that's put up these signs.
No, this would all still be monument.
Well,
I'll go to Slide Cannon. There's signs on that hill. That's more of a
right from the BLM.
On the ranch?
Yeah, and it doesn't say money. It's the road number. It has a road number on it. Okay, I think that, well, one thing we need to do is coordinate with Larry and whatever, you know, as far as getting into hunting season.
I just bought 10 new no hunting signs. Kind of place around certain areas. It's just another one of those. You know, last year we had guys all over the place saying, oh, I thought I could hunt here.
So we talked about putting a sawhorse type sign right in the road that leaves the canyon, county road there by the airstrip.
Top end of the airstrip.
Have something to mount the sign on.
I could get something together.
I think we should
get it ready.
Yeah, put something there that kind of almost blocks the road. You sit it out in it and say, you know, check with ranch manager. It's locked ahead.
This is a private road.
Yeah.
Yada, yada.
Yada, yada.
Okay.
Okay.
Because when is the rifle hunt?
For a bunch, I'm not sure. It's different than the
rifle.
Out. It's probably in October.
It's October.
Not like the first week in October?
But there's hunts from now to the end of the year. Now it's the whole argument with the Forest Service. Yeah. When you say the deer hunt, which one? Because they'll go through, and there may be even two or three bow hunts, and then a rifle hunt, and then black powder.
It seems like we ought to put that up at least a month before.
Oh, now that we're entering hunts, I would put that up just to deter people and let them know that they shouldn't be hunting in there.
I'm curious why all the forests we have, that they have to plan on this little pocket that's surrounded by private land. Is that
something to know?
Because it is. It is public land.
It is. And part of it is due to people who want to get in there or going to the BLM and saying, look, there's this little bit of BLM in there, and Deer Springs is locking the gate and won't let me in there, and you know.
Well, we may find they're doing it all over the place.
They are doing it.
You happen to know about this.
They are doing it everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
So WSA out there, for instrument.
Probably something happening somewhere on the other side of the world.
Giving us money.
Yeah. Okay. Same jobs.
Linda, what do we have as far as on the balance sheet? Anything important on yet before we finish up the financials?
Off the top of my head, no. Okay. You brought up those concerns that I saw, and probably not more than
okay, any other questions on the financial report? If not, let's move on to update on water use. That's me, supposedly. We'll go through a couple of things. We have not made any progress to speak of on Leaf Spring. Jody, while you're here, do you have any comments on that, or where you and your group is there in Broad Hollow?
Yeah, I brought up at the last meeting that there's really, I can't get any feedback from the other ones that were interested. Whether they are or not right now, I don't know. So, of course, I'm still interested, but I don't know about the other ones. I just can't get a response.
Okay.
So, if not this year for sure, maybe something again for next year.
This whole water issue is, where do we start eating the elephant, you know, because they all are somewhat interrelated, but we've got to, you know, continue to keep pushing until we can get an overall plan and stuff on that. So
yeah,
we'll keep working on that, because, you know, if you're there, and if some of those others in that area, some of those lots change hands that are not interested, or some of them, get more involved, it would make a big difference. On the 40,000-gallon water tank, and we've got on here a representative from Houston Painting, which is not able to get here. Paul, can you give us the latest update of where we are with Houston's group?
Well, I called him being, this is August. I wanted to see where he was at. And he basically kind of pushed me aside and said, that he wasn't ready to do it. He's got two or three big city contracts that he's working on, and for about 2 or 3 years he was kind of scraping for work, and now he's got all the work he can handle. He did mention something about the association kind of dragging their feet on making a decision last year, and so he wasn't real adamant about keeping his work with us this year. And I told him, I said, well, what does that mean? He says, well, he can't get to it this month, but his schedule opens up late September, early October, where he could definitely come out. And I said, you can't do, this in October, because we need to get the system back online. It's just getting too close to wintertime. I said, you can't say, well, let's jump into January and I could do it then. And so he promised that, which I don't know what a promise means at this point.
Well, and that's what
the big thing is, a contract. If we can get a contract written up this month.
So, if we had a contract written up, you sent to him.
I sent it to him, and he never got back.
Do you still have a copy of that where we can
rewrite the date or push him, you know, I mean, it's as simple as lining through the date and putting in a new date and initialing it until he'll, you know, commit to
September. If we could get it finalized by the end of this month to where, hey, we got something, you know, you signed it, we agreed on it, something that we can stand on. You know, October is getting kind of late in the season.
So do you have something that you can send to him right now?
Yeah.
I have it on my computer.
Uh-huh.
The original I drew up just with the May dates.
So let's get that sent to him.
Yeah, as soon as we can get it, I think the sooner we can get it back and the sooner we can get moving on it.
You have a batch or an email for him?
Yeah.
So I think that's the key determination is that he'll sign that.
Mm-hmm. Trust me, I am frustrated as I'll get out about the water system. You know, we've made a lot of repairs and a lot of needed repairs that needed to be done. Getting that PRV back online and all the holes closed back up, getting the tank back online, the sooner I can get that done, the better, before the cold season comes in.
What's the name of the company?
Houston Painting.
Where are they out of?
Henryville?
Yeah. It's there, so just south of Provo. I think if we don't have a signed contract in the next week,
That thing is, if you can get that to him and see if he gets it signed back,
get
on the phone and discuss things to him, with him, you know, with a deadline at the end of next week.
Right.
Okay. As far as other water issues, are you available later, Jody, to get together with Dale? Have you talked to him now since you sent the email? I did talk with him. Okay, I did. Dad, you did get that Jody's email that she sent, and I confirmed with him stuff, and she was wanting, while she was here in town, to talk about the other question she had on water.
Yes, I got a copy.
Okay, so we can discuss that outside as kind of a briefing. I've got to leave from here in another appointment, so hopefully we can make that work. But if not, you two get together, because he's the one that can answer those questions, and we'll follow through on that, because that could be important. Okay, let's move on to agriculture and wildlife. Mr. Clayson.
Okay, Paul, can you give me a little bit of an update where we are with the metal fence, fish pond fence?
I've been working on a cattle guard. I've been busy with 100 other things. Been trying to get together with Doug Hunt to get cows rounded up so I can start working on that north fence again.
So we're really struggling to get that fence together.
Yeah, it's just time.
Let me make one comment, you know, because Paul and I had corresponded, Chubb, and you made a comment in there. You know, and I know I gave you some different direction stuff as far as priorities. So if we juggle priorities is one thing, but don't wait on Doug's cows to fix the fence. You made a comment as far as because they were out in the forest. Fix the fence, and he'll have to find gates and open gates to get back in. You know, try to herd the cows in and hold them in while we fix the fence, it will never work. So make sure that, just so that, you know, you're not waiting on that and start getting all the ducks. Whether Doug's cows are in or out, it's Doug's issue as long as the fence is.
Right. Yeah,
let's get that fence fixed, and then he'll get them in.
There was cows down around the ponds, and what they're doing is they're getting up on that western side fence that's all laid down. They're coming down around the ponds, and I made it to where the cows can't really disturb any of that spring, where our spring tank is, which was kind of a big concern last year. So, you know, I'm hoping, you know, I'd love to sit here and say that I can get all the fence done and we can have our zones where it's the upper meadow, the lower meadow, the ponds.
At this point in time, I would have to say it's probably impossible to have the zones, but what I'm nervous about is as feed gets more scarce,
right,
that they'll be pushing onto the forest or pushing out into other areas.
They've really pushed into the forest quite heavy.
And that's where we're going to get in a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm.
So my first priority ought to be, you know, that forest fence.
Right.
making sure that we've got it, you know, good and tight. And if it looks like it's, you know, not working, which I would have to say it's not working to get the that west fence on the hillside fixed is pretty deplorable. I'd like to consider at least seeing if Taylor Button and his crew could go up there for a couple of days and have you focus on some of these other areas. I think we've got to protect and fence around the spring.
Right.
And
well, my overall plan this time next year, that cattle guard should be in place, the fences should be in place, we should have our zones, hopefully another cattle guard up by that southeast side of the meadow there, southeast side.
So do you have all the materials for the cattle guard now?
Yeah, I just got my 2-inch square tubing cut and I just started welding. Joe supplied me with some more rod, which Joseph Woods, I guess, had, I don't know how many hundreds of dollars of rods and steel that were supposed to go to cattle guards, but I have it all together, and I thought I took a picture of that.
Okay, so
it's coming together.
So would it be fair to say fencing priority should be first the forest fence,
mm-hmm.
second the fence that would tie into the cattle guard, and I should try to talk to Taylor Button's crew about the rest of the metal fence. See if, I don't know if their schedule is going to allow to get in there or not, but we did have some money in the budget for extra labor for fencing.
What? How are we doing on the gates up there, Paul? Is the DSR gate staying closed?
Yeah.
So it's not the gates at all. Are the gates going up? Pipeline Canyon is staying closed?
Yeah, they're all staying. I went up there the other day and somebody left the gate open. And I don't know what that was all about. All the cows were out. But I don't know. I'm thinking maybe somebody opened it up just so the cows would get back in there or what. But, that fence that runs along the forest, it's got the wood. And I don't know if it'd be easier just to pull everything out and just redo it. There's broken wire every 20 feet. It's not, you know, that it's just been pulled, it's just broken.
Isn't about the bottom three and a half feet all right, it's just the top that's
yeah.
all good.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's just from deer running over it or...
So if we put in some T-posts and strung, you know, two wires on the top of them right in that fence,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't that work and still kind of give us the character of the...
The old wood?
The old wood fence, but...
Yeah.
Two good top wires.
I think it would work.
So I think that would be good.
That western fence is just a mess. A mess.
Yeah, I don't know even how much of it's salvageable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got a lot of wires now.
Do you want to contact Taylor or you want me to contact him?
I'll contact him. Another thing that I don't know if you've had a chance to look at, but Dale had mentioned that we ought to mow the rose bushes and the willows.
I just started. I actually mowed about half of them.
So you all rolled up the...
I rolled up the wire at the T-posts.
The electric fence was doing no good at this point, and so...
If you look at... I don't know if I took pictures. I think I did take pictures. You're welcome to see them. But you look at where I fenced off, and it's all willows. There is some patches of grass, and you can see the grass coming up. But, you know, do we want to establish that along with establishing the willows, or do we want to mow the willows down?
Yeah, we want the willows down.
Okay.
So
I did everything except for where I fenced off.
Yeah.
And I think there might be some more up top, but have you had a chance to look at that? About half of it, right up to the fence where that electric fence was. Yeah.
Great.
And it looks good.
Many acres of willows.
Yeah.
Many acres of rosebushes.
Yeah.
They're all young and tender and cut them right.
Yeah. Doug said something that them cows would just munch them down, but they're not touching them.
If they were held there, they will.
Yeah.
But not if they can go in the forest and there's mountain meadows up there, you know. They're going to go after the ice cream first. Willows aren't ice cream.
Right. But it does, you're right, it needs to be mowed every year. You said something about spraying. Is there something that we need to pick up?
Yeah, and I'll work with it. I mean, once we mow it, that's what I wanted to mow it if we can now, so if it starts to regrow in the warm season within 30 days, that with that tank and sprayer that we can spray some of those willows and try, you know, we're going to have to test with it. But some of that 2,4-D that should knock back the wood, the willows and the rose bush, but not damage the, you know, grass.
Yeah, that's right. I noticed a lot of thistle up there, too.
Yeah, and that's the other thing.
Right, have to go through there by hand.
2,4-D take care of thistle?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I mean, it's kind of sporadic. It's just here and there. There's no field of it. It's just here and there.
Yeah, but they're tough. I mean, you know, it'll be better to hit those with a wand, you know, on the back of, you know, go out there and just hit each one.
The very best thing for those is to take a shovel and dig them up and carefully put them in the back of your trunk. Yeah, that's the seed pond.
Okay, my apologies. I have not worked on this weed restriction issue. I need to continue to work on that. I've talked to Barry about getting that together, but I need to still work on that with him. We have made lots of good progress with the county, and I had another meeting with them about the forest recreation zoning.
Got a few pictures of that.
And they did a
good job. They did.
That they would keep all of the requirements.
Oh, there it is.
So they may change our zoning name. There was quite a bit of debate about that, but if they change the name, they agreed that they'd be careful to not change any of the uses. So we'll see how that goes there. I'll keep working with that and see where we go. That's it on item 6.
Okay. 7 on irrigation management. That's supposed to be assigned to somebody.
Larry was kind of working on that, so I can give you some updates. I talked to Larry and told him to go ahead and get several of these reservoirs need to have the head gates stabilized or put in and finished up, and so we need to I told him everything that he could do there to please move forward with and give us an estimate of what it would cost. The only thing other than that is we need to have a little discussion about the washout of some of the ponds that are around the Polywog Pond and the retention pond by that. And I don't know, Vance, I'm glad you're here. Maybe you can help shed some light on this. Have you looked at the washouts up there?
A little bit, and I have one of my own.
There's been some theory that did your pond wash out?
Completely. But it was only responsible for a couple hundred thousand gallons of the 7.3 million that came down in 2 hours.
Wow.
There, my pond's only was about 20 feet wide, 40 feet long, about 16 feet.
Okay. Well, that's why I'm glad you're here.
And it had filled it up halfway.
We hadn't, but it kind of cut through your property there pretty good.
No, I see the top end of that gulch. Yeah, I've got, if anybody wants to look when we're done, I've got, everybody, it was the picture sensation of the week for a while. What happened to that?
A lot of the water that went into the reservoirs down by the ponds came from that, and then the other one over.
Even 0.929 inches the night before last.
Wow.
From 1:15 to 8 o'clock in the morning. It started that gulch running again. And it was done by noon, but as soon as the light went down and looked at it, 8 inches wide, 3 feet wide, or 8 inches deep, 3 feet wide at that point. It drains. It's a big flat pan up there towards the north of me.
Yeah.
145, 147. And man, moved some rocks. stuff above me now.
I think that one drainage, if we were to put another culvert in, was to get more. I don't know if you've been out there, but a lot of the water went up over the road.
Right.
It just couldn't handle the amount of water. And then also there was a culvert there that I believe was supposed to go on the on that reservoir to kind of release some of that water if it got up that high. It did fill up, and it did go over and filled up the pond closest to the ranch headquarters, that big one that was dug out.
Right.
I just think it was way too much water, way too fast. We came home from church. It happened on Sunday. We came home from church about 4 o'clock.
What?
1 o'clock. And I have pictures. They were all full. There was water running right down that channel into the wash.
The overflow that was supposed to work.
Yeah,
work.
It actually it did. Work. It was just way too much water, way too fast.
Yeah, our wash was like quite water rapid, and you could hear the sides of the wash falling in. You'd hear a crash, and then you'd see a rush of water, you know, where it made the water go faster. And
it really worked. It came from to about a foot from the top of that. The top of that. You know, I think with a culvert in there, if it was at full, you'd be able to open it up, let some water drain off a little faster. But it worked. It was just too much water, way too fast.
Inbound joint is going to stay. We got what? 2.892 inches in 2 hours. And, you know, unless you're the Army Corps of Engineers, you can't engineer that.
Right.
The only way you do it, the only thing to do is impound it. If it goes around or over or under anything, it's going to take it right out.
Yeah. Well, it used to be hand down.
Well, I think the important thing on these two or three is right now while, you know, like next month to be this fall before, you know, while you can still see the water run marks and kind of gauge how high it was, we have a lot of room up there. So some of the overflow, if we can widen it 4 feet wider and dig it a foot deeper, we'll handle more water going over and just down the wash or whatever. But, you know, that's one thing we need to look at as far as, you know, we put all these back in. And luckily we didn't lose, you know, the main polywog pond or half moon or some of them, but we need to get back in there and reinforce them. And you know, all of them were fresh dirt from this spring. So, you know, you always have to have them compacted in and mature and get some vegetation growing on it.
Yeah, half moon is actually holding water, right?
What's that?
Half moon is actually
holding water. Half moon is holding the water, as a matter of fact.
That's what I wondered. Are they holding
water? Down about 3 feet.
So in terms of kind of bulldozer work, we need some work there at the polywog ponds and also up at the fish ponds, right? Where that new, the latest one, the small one.
Yeah, it did blow out a little bit.
So those two places, that's all we need to bulldoze parkland work at.
But back in the diversion, that's the biggest dirt moving there. And you get the little pond in the southwest corner of the meadow. And then the settling pond there at the bottom. So there's a little work for you to do.
So I'll see what his schedule is. And we'll look at that when we look at our budget to see what we can kind of refine in that.
Are these ponds all holding water?
Right now, on this list, I think the fish ponds are all holding water, doing good. How much is in the, well, the hidden reservoir was nearly half full.
Right.
And it'll leak back out, but it's not overflowing. Half moon has been...
The half moon's holding water
good.
Has
been full all the way to top, and it's dropping back down, but it's not washed out. The red reservoir has filled
good.
Quite a bit. And the polywog pond is holding. It was the desilt diversion pond just off the county road that it was going through the overflow and in the old wash, but it still wasn't enough to handle it, and it blew out. So, again, right now, if we repair it while it's small, it's not a big...
So should we take... You know. Now, weren't we going to use one of those culverts in the gravel pit for an overflow for those areas? Would it behoove us to put that over that... one of those culverts in that, in where we had the washout and just fill in around it, or is that?
I think we should still use that bypass, the overflow.
Does that bypass need to be dug out just a little deeper?
Rebuild what blew out.
Right. Okay.
Solid, make it go around to the west.
And maybe build the overflow a little bigger, possibly.
Yeah, if it goes clear to the west of there, I mean, it can cut in the road a whole bunch and
not have any problem with the integrity of the.
Let me send you those pictures. Let me send you a few of them pictures that I took.
I'd be happy to look at them.
Pretty impressive what happened up there.
Okay, so mainly we need Larry work and Clark work. And so Larry's been already told to go ahead, and he knows what needs to happen. I just need to get an estimate of costs from him, and I'll talk to Clark.
Okay. Move on to ranch and fire, roads and fire protection, Brent.
Well, we have lots of road, we have lots of road issues right now that are, we need to get out there with the grader and fix. Up above Fred Searles, there is the, they had quite a wash out there, and we got a couple of boulders that are stuck in the drainage alongside the inside of the, so we'll go down the hill, and anyway, it builds up and then washes across. We're losing part of that road there. It's right down below. It's up above Fred's. I don't know exactly the number. So right near Joseph Wood's lot.
Right on the map.
Yeah, it'd be right.
It's something that he's been taking care of for years.
Yeah, he's been, Fred's been taking care of it. It's right. It's right here.
So it's on 5092.
Yeah, right in the, it's right in this area.
Hold on, let me get my glasses.
It's on that steep, it's on that,
it climbs that hill and drops back down to a steep grade.
Yeah. Anyway, it's right along there. I was hoping Larry would be here today and I'd get a chance to talk to him.
But all work that the road grader can do, I mean, that's gravel.
Oh, yeah,
gravelly road there.
Yeah, it's really just establishing a ditch or reestablishing a ditch along there. And then we have two or three culverts in upper Slide Canyon. That the big concrete culverts that got washed over during that big, those 3 days when I got 7 inches of rain in those 3 days, and the roads are passable, but those three, there's two or three culverts that need to be, have some repairs done to them, and I wanted to get with Larry and have him come with me and take a look at them and give me what he thinks is a good idea on them. I haven't been up by your place, Joe. Is the road to your place okay?
Yeah.
Even that one section down there where it gets sloppy right there through the bottoms, is that okay?
That's the only place I'm concerned. See, I've been going through there for 30 years, and I know how to go through there.
But right.
If someone's going to leave my place and try to go home and go up that hill,
right,
that A-frame, and they're going to slide backwards and flip upside down.
Right.
That's the only part that concerns me. There's a lot of places you can slide off the road and you can
just, yeah, you're okay.
You can get out and walk, but if you flip over there, you're in trouble.
Right. But the drainage part, did you get a lot of?
Yeah, pretty good.
Oh, okay.
I did drive through Slide, that main road that goes through Slide. It's starting to erode really bad, just because the ditches have silted up to the point where the road is, so the water has nowhere to go. So it just kind of sits on the road. You know, with that much water, there's just. So that road through Slide is pretty rutted up. I already talked to Larry to see if he had some time to run his grader through there.
Anyway, the Slide Canyon needs some work. Podunk Road, we took the culverts over. I don't know. I was gone, so I don't know if they got the culverts in. Do you know if they got the culverts in?
I haven't heard.
But the culverts were there. They were going to put those in. Larry went over and graded and established some good ditches in the problem area. And then, I dropped the culverts off. And if they got the culverts in, then it really helped to fix that up. Larry also fixed the Browns Homestead Road. And he repaired that washed out section. So,
are we going to put some culverts?
Yeah, no, we're trying to put the culverts up from it.
Okay.
But anyway, it is, that road is passable by truck now. It's a rough ride, but you can get over in a truck. I haven't heard, I don't know where we're standing right now on the Scutum 5, if we're just kind of in a holding pattern on that Title 5 thing and waiting, or...
Well, I to give you a nice update, I made some calls before the meeting.
The Scrutin Paw and about 15 other roads were submitted as part of a quiet title lawsuit from the county to overturn the ruling that Tina Campbell gave. And so that had been submitted, and they filed for summary judgment on it, hoping that that would speed up the process and that they may be able to get some claims on that sooner. Last week, or maybe 10 days ago or something, the county decided that they would try to take just the Scrutin Paw Road out of that group of 15 roads and ask them if they would make a quicker summary judgment on just that road because of the number of issues that we're having. And just yesterday, Judge Wadups did agree to pull that out and have a hearing on just that, and said that they would make sure it was scheduled by September. So we could have a resolution on that as early as September of this year. So I think that's really good that the county has gone through quite a bit of effort to put that at the head of the pack. And it looks pretty good. The BLM did not contest the motion for summary judgment on those roads and the Scrutin Paw Road. And so I think we're in good shape for a good ruling in September, hopefully.
Sure. Well, that's good news.
Would that be a public hearing? Would it help us members sort of view them?
I doubt it.
Yeah, this will be a court thing.
Yeah, it's not a public hearing. It's more
of a legal matter, not a matter of public opinion.
What the unbunk panel? I mean, when they supposed to meet and talk about it?
They've still got that moving forward, but no. Ruling has been made. They did agree on the en banc to have the hearing, but they haven't scheduled it yet. So that's another route. The county's got about four routes that they're trying to go to get these roads, but this one looks like the quickest one for the Scrutin Paw Road. The Hole in the Rock Road series, 15 or so roads associated with that, however, are in a lot worse shape. They were scheduled with, I can't remember the judge's name, but he was the magistrate judge. And the defendant has the ability to say, we won't accept a magistrate as a judge. I don't know why, maybe because if they ever had to go to an en banc, then the magistrate would have already ruled or something. But so then they assigned another guy, and he was a guy that would have been a judge that would have been really good to have. But he recused himself because he's 80 years old, and he said he's too old to deal with problems like this. And so the next judge that it went to was Tina Campbell. So he's now going to go back before her, which kind of know where her position was the first time around.
Yikes.
So that one's, looking a lot worse.
So, sounds good for the Scrutin Paw, though.
Yeah. Well, I have to. I'm totally giving the Kane County an A for their efforts. They're making efforts to resolve our problems. I'm quite pleased about that.
Since the Scrutin Paw Road will be heard first, however, it may set some precedents that may help
the other roads. Yeah.
Well, that's a big issue because we have a big population problem that is pushing on that.
Well, and I greatly appreciate all the work everyone's doing on it, the public input and the
in King County going after it. The technical part of the fire protection plan is pretty much complete, okay? And that's the meat and potatoes part of it. The other general part of it, I'm just kind of holding off on because there's a lot of work involved that relates to who's the board members, and because the board, you know, the board members will be changing in September, there's no sense submitting a group of names, you know, that'll be there for a couple of weeks, and then submitting another group of names. So once the annual meeting comes to pass, then it's just filling in the blanks and going from there. However, there is one question I have for you, and I did not wait for it. I might have brought it with me.
And can you give us an update on the project that they recently did?
Oh, that's what I did. Well, here's a picture of it. They mainly work on the west side of the road, which was the problem area. The east side of the road really actually is, because it's got that big field break behind, it's not that big a deal, but they did work on that, the east side. They cut a lot of stays.
They need to pick up the stays though.
Yeah, Paul's going to work on that right now. The big thing we got, and it's kind of nice, is we got a lot of piles of chips. And we're trying to decide if the smart thing to do might be to just toss them on the road and help let them bind in with the road surface there.
There's a couple of muddy areas, right, in that one section.
And it could help from a temporary perspective. And I was looking at the chips, and they're not, because of the chip and oak, it doesn't chip like pine does, and, you know, you come out with nice uniform chips. It's kind of a
leafy.
Yeah, it's kind of spaghetti. And I'm just not really sure how good it would be to spread around the cabins and, you know, as a whatever. But it turned out really good, and it's hardly a eyesore by any means. You know, but like I say, they mainly worked on the roadside. And I encourage, if you get a chance to go out there and take a look at it, I think it looks pretty good. I haven't been over to Larry Murphy's to see what they did with the piles of, you know, his stuff yet, but I was going to go over there when I got home and lost.
So the piles of mulch, are they, I don't know if we need to have some discussion about not taking them around the cabins, or do we?
Yeah, we need to have some discussion there. I don't personally think, I don't want to make the decision. I don't think that they would become a good mulch to go around the, you know, pathways and stuff. I think they're just a little, like Paul says, they're a little leafy. They're not, it's not like wood chips, like you associate in your mind wood chips type thing.
There's like more leaves, more leafy material and sticks than just, you know, the...
So there's like more
foliage
in the trunk on the
right.
Right. But you know, see, they were not chipping big stuff. They were only chipping the smaller stuff. Anyway, anybody who wants to go take, you know, drive through and take a look at it, it's you know, it's the example of what they would like to accomplish or like to work with us on. Mostly the ingress egress routes. It's not like they want to do it every single place, but our main transportation routes, especially the places where the upper cabins are and stuff, they'd like to get it cleared back from the road.
So. I was pretty impressed. You know, it's got back 15 feet, which kind of opened that road up a little bit with all the water that's come through there. It's kind of more open to the sun now, so it actually dries out faster, I think. This winter also, you know, driving through, when I plow snow, I'll have more room to throw the snow, plus it'll be opened up a little bit to where... Yeah, that's a bad section right through there.
Yeah, that's a real bad section. On the fire plan, one of the things they ask for are
Did you put the Broad Hollow Road extension on the fire plan?
I haven't, but that's a good idea.
I think we should put that in, that that's a, you know, one of our things.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, one of the things that, you know, they want from us is they want lists of people that we can draw upon to do emergency work, okay? For example, do we have access to heavy equipment, and is that access, you know, and the contact people we need to get, you know, called to do this stuff and whatever, whatever, whatever. And what I was going to do is go through, and of course I was going to list Larry as one of those contacts, but they want more than one, and so I didn't know if I was going to maybe call up people like Nolan Button and a couple others and ask them if we could put them on our contact list. But I guess the question I have is you know, we're not trying to sign a contract with these people. All we're doing is asking them to be part of the emergency contact.
Well, I would put Clark Lamb on it first.
Okay.
You know, he's very familiar with all the roads up there, and his, if he does work for us, his billing has always been really...
Right. Well, exactly. But anyway, Clark, you know, think of Nolan, Clark.
And then maybe Norris Church, you know, because if we need somebody to just do, you know, some of the brush hogging or other things, he's really good.
Okay, well, I'll...
I don't have anything, any concerns about Nolan as well, but that's probably the order that I would look at. Is Larry, Clark, Norris, and they could always put people like you and I on the list as far as somebody that could help, you know, not as a contractor, but somebody that would...
Right. Well, anyway, that's just one question I had about it. So, that's all I got on that. So,
the ultimate route for escape from the top of the cabins was 3-4, right alongside cabin 1, and how we had that excavated to there. Has that been maintained?
I haven't, you know, the truth is I haven't been on that for a little while, and I don't know.
I
drove a truck down it, and it needs to be re-cut.
Because if we're talking about fire protection plan, that was one of the things we thought was really important. If the other road had become damaged or fire somewhere, that was the escape route from the upper cabin down to the meadow area for people to evacuate.
It is passable. But it does, the way they cut it, it was so close to the bank, or so close to the mountainside, over time it's just kind of washed down a foot or two, which is kind of encroaching on your
water line.
No, on the other side.
No, this is
going down by Catalina.
Going north off into the meadow.
Yeah. I can, I'll take the...
We just
the little dozer's over in, over on the photo. As soon as I get it back over on this... This side, I got to bring it over to finish the job. I will take it up there and I'll run it. I'll just run it down all over that trail and clean it up so it's all cleaned up.
I took the rough side. I went from the bottom up. That was
that's
a little easier going down. But
thank you.
Anyway, we can move on.
Okay, ranch activity.
Not on this, but on something that I talked to people at Sound Room. Actually, my husband talked to people at Sound Room this morning. AT&T is going to be taking over Hall. They're going to put a tower up at the head of Johnson Canyon, and that should cover our coverage out on the Schoon Pond. They're also going to put one out on the reservation, and I know some of our signals come from Page, and that should give us a good coverage on cell phone usage.
Yeah, I got my notice from them today.
Oh, you did it?
I got my notice from them today, and I hope it helps.
It can either go either way. It can go really good or really bad.
I'm in for training this next week and so on, so they're moving forward on that. But it sounded really...
Now, are these combination towers, or are they just digital towers that you ask?
I didn't ask that. I don't know the answer. Next time I'll ask.
About between here and the end of the year is when they're merging.
Thank you.
Okay, Shauna.
Well, we had a bench activity.
It was great.
Yeah. Anyway, we did that kid took first, second, third in every bid.
Pancake eating contest, Aaliyah. Three pancakes, big ones.
It was a pound for pound contest.
And we are going to have, we're going to have medals given at the annual meeting, just so people can see what they get.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we had a great cornhole tournament.
We did change up to cornhole because I was out there one day and folks had been there and they told us about this cornhole game, and sure enough, they have all over back east, they have this big competition going on. So we ventured and made it the cornhole game, and when I went down to one of the bus to get some wood, one of the guys said, "Oh, what are you making?" And he said, "We do that all the time. It's a competition back east." So he was, you know. Anyway, we made it to the exact
specification
for the cornholing, and then it went anyway.
So we can actually hold the world championships at their strength.
We're going to have championship cornhole going here, and it was fun.
Our family, plus everyone, was in cabin one, 12 people. We all came up specifically to do this Olympics, and we got stuck at the cabin. All that rain that weekend.
It rained
so hard. And I'm just curious, I thought it was a fantastic idea. I'm just wondering if, because August had so much rain, is there another
day? Another day?
Another month or a program that we could work at?
The reason we did it in August because there wasn't anything going on. We don't have cabins rented, so we were hoping to get more cabins rented out in August. I don't know if the monsoon, it's hard to tell if it's going to start in the middle of July or go to the end, first of September. And our annual meeting is the first week of September, so I
personally think July 4th would be a great time.
July 4th. Well, that's not what was the city, so we can't really, we're booked up during that time.
Yeah.
If we pulled it,
we're trying to do it in a dead time.
We're trying to get them to come during a time when there's not so many people there. Maybe we could do water sport. Well, no, because it was kind of cold.
Yeah.
Aaliyah wanted to go swimming on the zip line, but then nobody else did.
Bring come down and do the archery.
Yeah.
Archery and the shooting. Yeah.
We want to do some of those, and I went fantastic, but we were stuck up there until the next day.
My ears are still ringing. We're shooting 22s, and this guy lights off a 243 or something. Pow!
And we did have people that came for the chili cook-off in the evening. Like, the Singletary came, and the Moorheads, and Ken Lynn. So we had,
Ken and them were having the day.
There was quite a bit of people there.
Yeah, Ken was there for most of the day. But for the weather and no pushing it ahead of time, getting the notices out so late, we had a somewhat decent turnout.
Yeah, I think the people that were there this year will be there next year. And I think it's just, this is an annual thing.
And her family was fun. And they went down fishing, and then we had a little picnic there, but we all had to eat in our cars because it was kind of a rain. Well, we stood in the rain, but it was,
We'll have to check weather. I really don't know how we can change it if we try it.
Part of
it is if we get this pavilion up where we have a bigger area that people can, you can gather a big group of people, because
that would help for the picnic.
Yeah, we're
enjoyed more visiting.
We're going to have rain sometime, but this has still been a little bit, the last big floods we've had here in Kanab were in September, the last, previous years, So, it can happen anytime from July through September.
This is an annual thing. I think we just keep pushing it.
And I think it'll gradually get bigger and better. Yeah. And so we just did a few of the things. We did do a kind of a tour. I took the kids and we drove four wheel all the way, but we couldn't make the last hill going up the flood canyon. We couldn't get up that one. I made most of the way, but let me tell you, I finally had to turn around. Thank goodness she has a turn off. That big truck was our turn around. But anyway, yeah, it was pretty. Anyway, we had a really good time.
But well done.
We did have fun. So, that's the end of my report because I have to, we did get the star out there for the shooting course, and we have other things that we had but did not finish because we.
We did do volleyball with the water balloons. That was fun. Had a cornhole tournament. And Alan Moorhead, you can write this in your notes. Alan Moorhead was the champion.
Okay. We do need to know that for
uh-huh.
Okay.
The one that Kelly took off, so we decided to have the
best.
DB2?
Yeah.
Champion of what?
Of
the
cornhole.
I think. Y'all have to come and see it.
Who has someone?
And the chili cook off. Who did the
cook
off?
I go
Ken Lance.
Ken Lance. Okay, let's put it.
Yours came in second.
Oh, yours was second.
And we all thought yours was Ken. So you were disqualified.
Wrong.
It was very good.
Anyway, I appreciate it. I have to leave because I've got my father's brother passed away and we're heading for Phoenix for a funeral. So,
really appreciate all the
I'm trying to hold on.
Been working?
Yeah, but I gotta go gather the rest of
it. Okay.
Anyway, so I apologize. I have to leave, but I forgot to leave. Okay. Sorry. Thanks.
If you get together a list of who won, I can...
Some paper congratulations.
Okay. No, we're done. We got medals. I got medals.
Virtual.
I just say get the permanent marker and write out some big old washers.
Like the lot line?
Yeah.
Okay, item two then is the prep for the annual meeting. We're planning on September 11th at the ranch. I guess we're just reviewing this or discussing ranch tour, barbecue, and lunch.
Why don't we let Linda talk about what she's got prepared and what she's sending
out. You had an issue on time, remember? You emailed me about it. You were still competing time.
Yeah, for the annual meeting, we did the board I put on the announcement, which happened, it's been posted tonight, we're going to put back to the ranch, that we are having our board meeting at 10. Our regular monthly board meeting at 10. We'll count ballots and address business at that point, and then lunch at noon, and begin the annual meeting at 1 o'clock. And lunch will be a barbecue with potluck side dishes. And that's basically all I have on it. But these other things that are on here were things that were from previous meetings that we thought we would do at the annual meeting activity.
So wasn't there like an auction before?
Everything from C on down should have been under Shauna's report.
Right.
And so...
Well, not everything, but yes.
Well, she said that she put the bale of straw at the windmill.
Yeah. So back to the annual meeting. You're sending out a letter. Do you want to read that? See if anybody has any concerns or additions.
I got a question on this. Is the Desert Fox going to have the motor ready?
October 2nd.
October
2nd. October
3rd.
2nd. 3rd. 2nd. Yeah, Jody's still talking to me. Sunny likes coming up for those.
Yeah, I know it does. I don't know. He's trying to buy a house right now again. He's afraid to leave a house and have a phone call.
Oh. Well, this isn't October.
Well, he'd be up here with me right now.
This isn't until October.
You've been waiting since January.
This is a meet the candidates and invitation to the annual meeting. Annual meeting, Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association. 1 o'clock at the Deer Springs Ranch headquarters. We will begin at 10 with a regular monthly board meeting where we will be counting ballots and addressing approved. I did this really fast. Such a typo. I'm sorry.
We wouldn't know there's typos there, Linda.
And the drafting manager, yeah, but he's going to get it and look at it and go, oh, Linda. The drafting the approved agenda items, we will adjourn at noon with the announcement of newly elected board members, at which time we will enjoy a delicious barbecue. Side dishes will be a call-up, so bring your favorite dish to share. Our annual meeting will follow the lunch.
I don't think we should say annual meeting at 1 or 10. I think that's a confusing
thing. The whole shmeal.
Okay.
I can fix that.
Yeah. I think our meeting starts
start at 10 and go.
10.
Yeah.
And we have our as much of our meeting as we can, and then we have the lunch, and then after lunch we can have a separate board meeting to discuss priorities with the new board members. Or
because that doesn't make clear. If people want to be there and vote on site, they need to be there at 10.
Right.
If the annual meeting starts at 1, they're going to show up and find out it's already been counted. And sometimes we break for lunch and then count ballots during lunch instead of just sitting around waiting.
So is there anything in particular you all want
good
to see?
Hmm? So you haven't sent it out yet?
No.
To make that change?
I did send it to him. She's here. So.
I know where I can get
it. She can
I can fix it right now. And I
there's not an all-hire.
Fix it, resend it. I just say in the annual meeting.
Tell me you've got it done. I'll ignore the draft.
You've seen that cow at the fireplace.
No. The one
what,
no.
What are we going to do at the annual meeting?
The
2 hours.
Yeah, right.
I went out when I went up.
We need an agenda for that. So let's make a list of the things that we want to discuss at the annual meeting. We should have a financial report available to the members. And that should also go online, too, I think. Show what our, you know, basically this report, our budget to actual so far this year. And we should have an opportunity for the board members that are running for positions to have 5 minutes to talk to the group about their interest in the ranch and so forth before
voting. What's that?
Didn't we do that backwards that one year?
Yeah, and that's what I say. I think if we start with a welcome and a financial report and then go into candidates announcing itself and then it, you know, getting close to 12, call for vote and turn in the ballots and stuff, you know, and some that have been mailed in maybe can be started and counted during that time. And then as we break for lunch, finish, and so that at 1 o'clock or after lunch, we would announce the results and have the new board get together as far as discussing future goals and getting input from the members, you know, discussing any items, you know.
Are there any other agenda items besides that at this point? I know of
none. I think we should maybe just somewhere in here say update on projects and I think, Paul, there are some projects I'd like you to talk about, you know, what's been done this year.
Yeah.
And we can kind of refine it, but if you'll put a place on the agenda for update on projects.
Yeah, we can do
that. Could I do some of that, too, as far as, like, we have cabin, cabin adoption, and people are doing wonderful things for the cabin. You know, members are getting involved
right.
in doing things. And maybe that would be a place to
promote that.
So we may have enough time before lunch to have the manager's report, kind of what we, you know, where we've been in the past. So when we break for lunch, we have the announcement, you know, who's on board, and then talk about future plans and goals.
So, hey, Larry.
But there's no other things need to be voted on that are kind of like minefield this whole thing in the last.
No.
Right? Okay.
Hey!
Let's
get
this
started.
Well, let's see.
Plenty of time.
Did you see that? Shauna leaves, Dave shows up. Are they one and the same? Never seen in the same room at the same time.
Just enough time to change clothes.
I did time to have a discussion about the pavilion.
So,
So have a ranch manager's report and a project line item for the annual agenda. And any other things that we need for the annual agenda? Because that should all be published with this notice.
Right. That's why.
Well, I'm reading the thing what he's talking about right now. So give me just a second. I have on this invitation also meet the candidates. I've gotten a paragraph from the candidates.
Right.
And that's what
that should go on that.
Okay. And I'll print that out to have at the meeting for those who can't be at the meeting.
Right.
If there's something.
Are you
going to
present the award also for the
award? Oh, yeah, Shauna.
We'll throw that in. Tiny filler, because that could be before lunch or after lunch, either way.
Ranch Olympics Awards.
Well, we want the people there, so
right.
They know what's going to happen.
They'll be there.
Yeah. My four kids will be there.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Any other questions, Linda, to what, so you know what to send out?
I don't have any questions.
Great.
My computer's frozen.
Just let me know when things are final.
Third draft. And third and
fourth. Okay. So when I get to fourth, what do I do?
Hey, you updated.
Do you want this agenda to be attached to this?
Letter, yeah.
Letter also, okay.
Yeah, I think basically the letter is, here's the annual meeting, this is the time that it starts. The agenda of the meeting is as follows, with the times and the lunch, and then these items that we've mentioned, and then as an attachment or after that, here's some information about the candidates that are running and their blurbs. So that goes out as one nice little packet.
Okay.
Good deal?
Bye, Mommy.
Okay, great. Do we need, what do we need to do to prepare for the lunch and who needs to help with what?
Well, Brayton's asking what eat. We want to eat.
What do you want to eat? I'll cook it.
As long as the side dish, you know, because it's a potluck, do not bring frog-eyed soup. That's all I ask.
Frog-eyed soup.
Yeah. Frog-eyed soup.
Valid. Longhorn.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get some longhorn there. We'll have some longhorn.
Okay, so do we need to put something about potluck lunch?
Yeah,
no frog-eyed okay. Salad.
So the main course will be provided frog-eyed. And bring...
Do we know what our main course is going to be? I didn't hear that. Barbecue is what I
said.
Yeah.
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 It'll be good.
Yeah, we just need to have a big place on the notice so everybody knows it is a potluck and bring something.
Right, right. Right. That's the more important thing.
I think everybody has
to. Bring a side dish.
Everybody has a
task. Bring a side dish.
Yep. That's what we usually say.
Yeah.
Side dish or dessert.
Yeah, we'll do chicken or beef.
Or ham and beef.
All right.
Okay, I think that wraps up the activity stuff. I don't know if we need anything else on shooting range animals, geocache course. I don't know if that was the stuff that would happen during the activities.
I think it was supposed to.
Okay, then let's go to number 10, legal and safety,
well,
public safety.
Do we want to go back to Larry on
these
roads that he was
doing?
If I can do whatever I can for 5 minutes and get out here.
Okay, do you have some bills and estimates for me?
I have a bill right here.
Okay.
I actually came bearing good news today. I'm bringing you a bill and also a check.
Yes.
Check.
And
landowner's deer tag money, $4,000, $3,917.
Do you know who it is already?
This is just our share.
Our share of the tag sale.
Oh, okay. Also, I'm on my way to drop this. This is the completed packet for our application for June this year. This is due. I got it yesterday and called her, and so she dropped off the notices, and I filled all everything else out, and I'll give it to Bruce Bunny for their meeting tomorrow for next year. And that's my bill for road grading, flood control, drainage for June, July, and August.
hours.
Okay.
My bill's only about half of that check.
Well, I'll tell you, the work that Larry did seriously prevented a few washouts that there's some pretty bad spots up there.
Throw $30 more on that
so
you can buy some big boy pants.
And I need an estimate roughly of for finishing all the head gates and culverts and stuff that are associated with the water storage. So you can call me on that. Thank you. You can dream about it. But we need to try to kind of reserve some money.
Some money and try to know if we've got enough for the dozer to come up and do major stuff on the big blowouts, but some of those culvert stuff.
Securing the head gates and finishing those things.
How's the head gate on the red reservoir? Is it holding up?
It's okay, yeah.
And I noticed the one on Half Moon's okay.
Yeah. The one on Half Moon is still leaking, but it's not the head gate. It's the attachment of the gate to the culvert. So when it completely drains this winter, we'll go and take some manifold compound or silicone, and it's like a big gasket to pack it with, so it'll completely seal next year. But until we do the diversion, we're not going to fill it anyway. So anyway, that's all I got.
Okay,
right.
A couple things on roads. That whole thing with Fred Searle's road back around the corner there. And then also maybe get with Brent on some of the Slide Canyon stuff.
Okay. Have you been up Slide?
I haven't. From the lower end. Paul talked to me about it last week after he drove up there.
Yeah, we got some washout culverts further up.
I had intended to get up through there because I finally got the little dump truck completed and so I was going to go up and clear culverts and grade the road just to get the fenders and start.
Is it running good?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Did you get my email? Check your emails.
You got the dump truck running?
Yeah.
Okay. Will you give me a bid on some material that delivered right there, that section by Half Moon,
okay,
by the cattle guard? Couple little spots right there before. This winter it's going to be bad right there.
Yeah.
It will be.
We just need to touch up everything. I mean, this rain and floods was good to tell us where it needs more attention, where we're doing okay, and what more we need to pay attention to.
Yeah.
When are you back, Glenn? September 1st.
Okay.
Appreciate all you're doing.
Comment from Lauren. Outstanding job, Larry. I guess it's more hilarious because last 2 weeks when I was here, we had the whole 14 days we were here, we only had dry days 2 days.
Yeah.
And I would go out, and that guy would be out there grinning, though. You know, like, yeah, Larry. So he was just right on it the day after, and he did a lot to do. Thank you.
Now, this was, I don't know what we ended up with inches-wise or anything on any given day, but there was... I've never seen that much water almost.
Yeah, good. I'm glad somebody agrees with us on that, yeah. It was something.
It was like over a foot of rain total.
It came fast and hard in different spots.
Fred was concerned that your windows have been bashed out, or are they always like that?
That was... oak logs and trees when
okay.
I cleared the ditch bank was down into the hidden reservoir.
Okay.
If you thought
they weren't, and then they are, and you wondered if the same...
They were cracked, and then as I worked and hit another tree or vibrate, they spiderweb more and more. And,
yeah.
And then I jacked the front window out just so I can see, because
it was pretty bad. I noticed it myself. It's like, oh, wow.
Yeah, it didn't suffer the same fate as a little red stick of
thought. More rock lunatic.
Okay, anything else? I'm going to go turn that in and be off.
Are you leaving?
I'm leaving.
He's leaving.
You're not going to be back for a while?
I won't be back till September 1st. But then, whatever we can do, we can do.
Works for me.
Okay, thanks, Larry.
All right, then we'll go back. Ed Belinsky on safety and legal.
Yeah, we've been looking to get some dead-end signs for Quarter Horse Road, and I called Jason Clough in Fredonia. He suggested I email him with what we were looking for, the dimensions. I did. And then I went back to Vegas. I wasn't able to call. I asked Linda to double up and try and see if we can get some status on it. He never sent me the designs. We never got back to Linda. Jason Clough from Fredonia. I have his number at home. I didn't bring it. But that's what was decided. I think the last meeting we talked about going into St. George to get him or try to get him locally. And I think Jason's name was brought up, so I tried to use him.
When you talked to him, he said he could do him?
Yeah, he said he could do him. He'd be happy to do him. He said the best way was to email him, so I did. He got it.
Jason, not Jacob?
Might be... Oh, shit, Jason. Probably Jacob. Might be Jacob.
That's what we're trying to find, I don't know if they're brothers or two of your brothers that work down there.
Well, that's kind of what I wanted to add. Weren't we talking, some of our emergency response, having to update our roads?
We've spent an hour on that, and we're not going to go down that path.
Okay,
again.
Good. Yeah, let's just keep
thinking. Well, that's why we're going to get the same thing, the lots has everything else, the routed.
The wood routed.
Yeah,
here.
Routed and then highlighted in white.
Well, let's just try to keep pushing. Normally, they've been really responsive on anything I've dealt with them on.
I think we said two right now just for that dead end road. I don't know.
And you just need a sign, the yellow sign that says dead end?
No. We want it routed out of wood like the lot sign. So kind of keep
highlight the white paint.
Look,
that,
if you want dead end signs, I got them all donated. I'm a husband's wife, really. I just want a big battle snake in the lot. I'm a D4.
We spent an hour on this before.
Okay.
We're going to go with the wood route once. So.
And that's all I have?
All right. Thanks, Ed.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Next then is, how do we skip David?
He's coming up.
All right. Then Brayton, manager report.
Fencing plans, we already talked about that. I think overall, the BLM fence worked out really good as far as containment in the meadow. Not so hot. Like I said, this time next year with a cattle guard in place or two cattle guards in place and some hard work on some fences, I think we'll be able to do those zones that we've talked about. The ranch house roof, I gave you the dimensions on that little pop out, and then you wanted some measurements on cabin 3. Is that right?
That's the one that we stayed in, and it's
time, yeah.
Yeah, it's way past time.
If you could look at cabin 4 also, okay. Maybe as a next year project, that would put all of those cabins up there with metal roofs on.
Yep.
We were looking at re-roofing it last year, but I looked at it and, it's
as far as the smallest and the simplest with no valleys.
Yeah.
And it's the main reed bridge line.
But I think...
Three's a little more tricky.
I think next year, by this time next year, having all those upper cabins roofed, I think 9 and 10 are roofed. So all the cabins would have metal roofs on.
Okay. Well, I can measure both 3 and 4 when we line up the unless you get to it. And then we're just trying to get a price right now on material. All
right.
So we'll be ready for spring and we can budget for it.
Okay.
Great.
As far as the bunkhouse and cow palace, do you want measurements on those also, or did you already get them?
All we're going to do on those is just put more screws in. Oh, we do need on the south side of the bunkhouse, we need...
Yeah.
But we have metal anyway. So no, we don't. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Because that's all the old steel. We'll just use what we have. Yeah, we've got plenty of stuff.
Just kind of a side note is the cow palace, the recent rain that we got, did some considerable damage to the bottom side of that. Almost took the whole thing out. The wall caved in and mud and water came through on the bottom.
Cow palace.
Your laundry shed.
My laundry shed? It's called the cow palace?
Yeah, it's still on the plan. I don't know. It'll be a while to figure it out.
I thought it was the waste station.
It's pretty serious damage to the floor and
yeah, I'm cleaning out the mud.
Back wall.
now. I mean, I'm, you know, still pulling stuff out and cleaning out the mud and getting the thing. And
we'll take pictures and send it out. As far as decks on cabin 2 and 4, 4 is taken care of. It's already fixed.
So it's totally done. Four is totally done.
Four is done.
And two, where are we?
Two, Larry Sims just showed up today. I have the material for posts, and I bought some concrete and sonotube so we can do it right.
You got the mixer?
Got the mixer. It's all ready to go. I had a question. I did some pricing on redwood, pressure treated, and composite materials. We're looking at a difference of about 25 cents. Compared to, you know, redwood or composite. My suggestion is we do composite. It'll last 25, 30 years.
And we all have to treat it.
Yeah. You put down redwood, you're going to have to treat it this year. You have to treat it next
yeah,
year.
Yeah, I totally agree with the composite. So let's get that.
Okay.
And so in theory, he should be done the next 10 days or something like
He's
that.
He's going to do removal this week, and then next week.
Right.
There was a question on that. Are we doing that?
Yeah, and we worked that all out.
And I had a question. He kind of brought something else up too, maybe for next year's assessments, to redo the floor in cabin 2. Remove that red linoleum. It's kind of torn in a couple spots.
Yeah, never looks nice. I do it on my hands.
Really hard to clean.
Right.
And you can clean it and clean it and clean it. It never looks like it's clean.
To throw down, you know, they have that, it's linoleum, but you don't glue it down. You just kind of put it down, and you put the trim over it, and it kind of floats. You can kind of make it look, they have a wood-looking one, or a brick, or something, but...
Kyle.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? You know, with this Adopt a Cabin program, we've had people already in Cabin 8, Cabin 4. They're going to, for example, the people in Cabin 4, what's their name?
Rick and Nancy Bowen.
Rick and Nancy Bowen, they're going to redo the entire floor and possibly some of the subfloor on Cabin 4. That cabin's sitting right in the third, and with all the water that's come down that bathroom side and that back bedroom there, there's a lot of damage on the subfloor, and they're going to come in and spend a week and redo the floor.
But they're also doing, they're putting a French drain in there,
yeah.
And they're going to repaint everything.
That's cabin 4, yeah.
They're doing, like, a serious remodel on cabin 4. And then cabin 8 has already had all new drapes put in it, all new pillows, new decor. It's actually really beautiful.
And then we're going to have someone come in and put the floor in the bathroom.
So the Adopt a Cabin program has kind of taken off. A lot of people don't know about it, but I think as...
We have five cabins adopted.
As years go by, I think the Adopt a Cabin program will pick up and people will kind of fight to get it, I think. But I wanted to...
Getting a lot of things done that we wouldn't be getting done.
Well, I'm looking at thousands of dollars going into these cabins that's not coming out of the association. But back to Larry Sims on that, is that... a possibility.
Yeah, let's get some numbers.
Okay. All right. So we already got the dimensions for the ranch roof, so we're just waiting on cost of material.
Yeah, and I didn't get it by last night.
Okay. I don't know about the pavilion plans.
When you get that, because we're hoping to, we really think that needs to be done this
before
winter. And so we've got to kind of budget that in too. We're trying to come up with remaining amount of money that we need to ferret out for making the budget work this year.
We're about $50,000 under budget on our income, so we're trying to see where we really need to be to not overspend by the end of the year, Dave.
Well, you need to mail that to us.
Yeah, I should have a number.
That'll be great.
Paul?
Yes?
Is Green Gilder on there also?
No, I haven't. I saw the old one on the side of the house there. Okay. All right.
Green is flipping out my
Right. Yeah, those screen doors that I put up. the whole thing with dogs is a great idea. I think it's neat that people bring their dogs up. You know, they open the door and then the screen door is there. Dog just runs right through the screen door. It's kind of a...
Can I make a suggestion in that area?
Mm-hmm.
An expensive suggestion? Possibly. If we could even one cabin at a time or two cabins a year or something, put in green, like storm doors that are whatever on the bottom.
Yeah.
Solid on the bottom and green on the top.
Yeah.
You get those.
Right. Just something that's going to last.
I think that's
why
they call the expanded metal army bronze.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and so which cabin is that on now?
Cabin A.
So we should look at that. How
that's
much
one do you have to do?
Yeah.
Looks great.
Very nice decor.
You have to ask the finance
expert. Do you know how much a door like that would cost?
The storm bar that we're talking about?
Storm bar would be more.
I think they're anywhere between $300 and $500 for a decent one.
Unless you knew it was a welder.
So the doors that you guys put on was a custom build.
Nobody here. No, not this one.
But you can buy those expanded metal bottoms that you screw on over the screen so that a dog won't run through it. You can buy them.
I did that on my place in Liberty. They work fine.
Yeah.
And they're inexpensive.
Yeah, that would be
a good idea. Something with this Adopt a Cabin program, just so you guys know, I've been watching and seeing what people are doing, just so they're not like these guys. They're not just putting a Band-Aid over something. They're actually fixing and doing something right.
Right.
You know, that's why we're talking about storm doors and expanded metal and things. But, you know, I don't want a whole bunch of trash being brought up there. Everybody's used furniture and
right.
things. But
it's good.
Something I needed to, I don't know what's going on with the pavilion.
Let me update everyone. I took the plans in. I don't know if everybody knows, Kane County laid off one building in six. So they're down to two. And anyway, I took the plan. I talked to Barbara Hansen on the phone. She says she can do a review of the plans. We don't necessarily have to have them engineered. She'll review them, and if they look good, she can apply the tables to them, and if they look okay, she can approve them. While I was gone for the week, I didn't really play phone tag. Every time I called, no one was around. And with that layoff, there's hardly, you know, you got to catch them at right amount of time. And I was hoping, depending upon when the meeting ends today, to catch her before she goes home.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, the great news is that we were able to talk to Barbara, and she's able to have it done without an engineer stamp.
Right.
Without another.
My honest suggestion is that let's find our columns. And I went to, or I called Paige Still, they didn't have anything. But we need to find our columns. And I'm pretty much of the opinion that we ought to just start working on it, you know, and go get going on it. And I'm fairly confident that the plans will be approved.
Well, Dave's kind of got a date that he's hoping that we're all ready for him, right?
Yep.
What's up?
What's your date?
30 days from now. When was it?
Don't be surprising us now.
No, it was the weekend of the meeting.
Oh, okay. All right.
September 11th.
Let me push ahead on.
We're
this.
Looking for what?
Stand
upright, 6-inch or 12-inch.
We're looking at 6-inch schedule 40 pipe, right? Steel pipe.
And would it be a good thing, should we announce as part of the annual meeting, will we need some volunteers to help us after the meeting that afternoon? Would that be are too many people going to be in the way and just be a problem?
And did we decide a dirt floor?
Well, were we going to do concrete? Is that what we decided?
Yeah, that's what we decided.
Okay. One of the things that I think we ought to start doing anyway is getting the prep work done.
Right.
You know, get the site leveled, get material hauled in that we need, you know, and that's...
Should we do bags of cement and a pile?
By the time he gets there, the cement is poured, the poles are in, and then he can work on
it.
Right.
Right.
As far as help, yes, we could use help, because it's going to be putting the framework, first of all, the panels will go on later.
Now, did we decide that, you know, we're going to try to weld those connections? Is that our plan?
Is that it? We've got an option, or we could bolt them on, and it's a lot easier to weld.
Bolt.
We've got plenty of bolts, so either way.
Okay. Well, anyway,
so we should put somewhere on the letter, Linda, that we'll be doing a pavilion raising service project after the meeting for those that want to help up with the fish pond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I say
something about cabins? I have another cabin issue. We've been having problems with almost all the refrigerators. And so I have a call into AmeriGas, about orifices. They never told us when we ordered the refrigerators that you have to have high altitude or low altitude orifices for the refrigerators. And we played with the flames and adjusted them to lower and everything and got them where some of them will not have issues by playing with the flames.
Throttle on the valve a little bit.
Yeah, so we're just getting... AmeriGas is supposed to be finding out for me if they have.
Good. It's been a huge issue. They taught us how to burp them, which helps. You know, after they sit for, you know, winter, you turn them back on, you're supposed to roll them. You know, that smell that you get, just because the chemicals aren't mixed. It's just, you know, we're learning this thing.
But we've called over and over and over again and never got a response to that. They're, oh, we don't know. And then it makes sense, though, because when we bring the refrigerators down here and AmeriGas test them, they work fine and there's nothing wrong with them. But this is the altitude that they're made for if that's the problem. Up there.
That's good. Let's pursue that.
A couple things. The windmill, that's one of the projects that... Now that Brent's back, we get the backhoe up, so we can lift that back up and get it bolted in. Culverts, I talked to you about them culverts. Ben, did you hear about that, these culverts?
Oh, yeah, I did hear them in Arizona.
Yeah.
I called him this morning. He's got, he thinks you can get him on two flatbeds. He's got over 100 feet of 8-inch, 18-inch corrugated. Some of it's a whole 20-foot pieces, others are 10-foot pieces. But corrugated goes together.
So
there's a bunch of 8-inch SDR90 fire line and some of the tanks are pipes.
That stuff's half-inch
thick. Not so good necessarily for drainage, but for other things.
Yeah.
Put a bunch of
so I think either next
on a job site down there.
Next week or something, I'm going to use your truck, Kirk, and take a flatbed down and pick it all up.
The culvert steel?
The black poly.
I'll send you pictures. I've been trying to send pictures on my computer, and I can't even attach a single file. But there's hundreds of feet of this culvert, 10-inch to 32-inch.
100 feet of corrugated, various lengths, some little 20-foot pieces, 6, 10, 18, 10, 12. It was going to be a parking lot, and they decided to put a building there, and the new owner of the piece of ground is making them remove all the existing infrastructure.
It's only 2 years old. It's brand new.
And it's just the ground.
So and they're going to haul it to the dump.
So
what better place to take it than theirs?
I think that we could save the ranch thousands over the years. Just, you know, a couple $100 in fuel. And
yeah, I think the bigger stuff would be more valuable for us.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Priorities. So.
So, just...
If we got room in five, say, a piece of 6-inch for a piece of something else.
Right.
There's nothing else to fit in there anyway.
So, where is this at?
Down in Phoenix.
Chandler,
okay.
So, I will be making a trip down there with the... I don't know if the ranch truck will make it, but I had a hard time getting over Cedar Mountain with a pallet of concrete, just to let you know. But
he asked me to try to have off the site as early as we could next week.
Okay.
He's planning on pulling his traco and stuff, everything out of there.
Okay.
And so far, the owner hasn't noticed that we're piling that stuff up and keeping it in the corner or behind the fence.
I might be following you on Sunday.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
I'll try to call him again, but of course, it's Friday, and we'll be able to talk to him.
Okay. That little handout that you got right there, I've been having a heck of a time keeping power up with the solar system at the house. I had Bob Becker looking at it, and then Vance Green came by and did some testing on it, and we found out that I'm running on half the panels that are there. Six of the 12 panels basically shot. It's kind of an issue that I have.
How many watt panels are they?
There are each one. I measured one that was still good, and it was putting out 90, so I guess the originally were 100. And judging from the dimensions of them, I think that's through all the labels that peeled off the back are gone. Yeah.
So,
and the dimensions are about right.
What voltage is each panel? And because I just saw a special, Harbor Freight has 24 volt panels, they look like one of the things that they were showing on these panels is that, you know, a lot of panels, if you have one little section that's blocked or damaged, then the whole panel stops.
Well, and these would be that way too, but the heat issues I'm pointing out are not that kind of an issue. This is actually internal damage of some kind.
Yeah.
And all panels will come with bypass diodes, which affects the issue you're talking about for years. This was a known thing. Somebody put one up and realized that if they covered up one cell, the whole thing went down.
Right.
The bypass diodes. That, especially the 210 degree temperature, is not a good thing. They're just, as Brent said, they're reaching the end of their life. 20 years old.
So my suggestion is I need to possibly get a board approval to replace some solar panels.
So how many panels would we need?
Well,
how many watts do we need?
The good thing that's going on, and you can talk with Brent more about this offline, so we'll take up more time here. There's six panel racks. We have two poles holding up six panels. Just fortuitously, six panels are what needs to be replaced, so we can keep half of them.
And I think we've discussed possibly
change out the other six.
Yeah.
And the old six panels could go to the wind level.
Yeah.
They'll probably still have enough outlets to run that.
Our old solar pump idea.
Right.
We could possibly use those for. I haven't changed any power. The only thing we use is a deep freezer and a refrigerator and a light here and there. So we haven't changed our power usage. It's just I think these panels are reaching where they have reached. I haven't reached 100% battery capacity.
All right. Well, we can talk about that afterwards in more detail.
Yeah, I just wanted to, since I was here, I could hand a few things up, make it a little more clear.
Something else I had was that headquarters corral and also the meadow corral. Doug's had to corral some cows for sale, for transporting and whatnot.
Right.
And his suggestion is possibly buy some panels.
Did you get a chance to check out Allen's?
I could never get all of them. I talked to a guy that works with the guys at the feed store here in town, and he says he can build some cheaper ones, you know, the smaller ones, for about $85 a piece.
Yeah, I
hate
cheaper ones.
My suggestion is anywhere between 100 and 100 and a quarter for a 16-footer, 16 feet.
We need to check Allen's. I know before I checked all over the place, and they were definitely the best price and good heavy paddles.
Well, my suggestion is not to rip everything out. Is to leave like that old chute. Right when you come in, it's that old loading chute. Leave that and some of the others. But as far as the stuff when you first come in, that first panel right there, that first section, that just looks awful. Start taking it out. Start replacing it. I think if we can buy 15 to 25 panels a year over 5 years, I think we could have it all redone.
I'll call and get some prices on those.
Okay.
Back to the pavilion, I think, if I could. We didn't quite finish up there. What do we need to do to get ready? So I know you talked about the permit, but the cement work and those things. I can't remember if I was going to do some calls on that or somebody else was, or...
Well, what we were calculating out was the we wanted the overhang of the, and Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, we wanted the overhang to be outside of the concrete, right?
Right.
And then we wanted to make sure we had drainage all the way around, so we need gravel. We need, you know, we need to level the site. We need to get our holes ready with the sonotubes. We need to get the need to get it formed up. I was hoping, so we can do all that when Larry comes back.
So it, roughly it's about a 30 by 40.
Is that how big it is?
30 by 20.
Yeah, we figured it was like 600 square feet, roughly, of concrete. So we were just doing a standard 4-inch slab, is that what we were thinking about?
Yeah. So we're thinking about having Larry do the work on it?
Yeah, well, that'd be the easiest thing. I mean, I can go up there and level the site and do whatever, but...
Okay.
That's
going to
happen before the meeting?
Yeah.
I should have to there.
So we can get Lambs to haul some base material up there and, you know, see what we can do there.
Yeah, see, what would be nice is if we could get it leveled out and then get it compacted.
Right.
And then be prepared to...
So when I talk to Clark Lamb, I'll talk to him about bringing the material up.
Okay.
And...
do you have a roller we could possibly use? Or maybe we can rent a fiber plate?
Yeah, one of those hand...
Fiber plate deals.
But I'm assuming that we probably end up needing to... I mean, that pond area is pretty, you know, loose. I think it would be best
right.
If we, you know, compact
it up.
Bring some material in and compact it again.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the next week's break in too?
What?
Yeah.
Can you
talk about the next
week's
break in
too? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's some of the pipes that we need.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have seen that.
Oh, that needs to be up there by the time you come up.
Yeah. In fact, it'd be nice to get the pad in, get the columns up,
yeah.
And have everything ready to go.
So, Brad, can you find the pipe?
I've been working on it. I'll continue working on it. I
found some. It's just very expensive.
Yeah, it's just out of sight expensive. That's why I was checking with, you know, Page Steel because they. You know, they recycle quite a bit of stuff. And
I'm going to ask Brent Robinson. He's got a whole ton of it sitting on the side of the road somewhere.
There was a bunch of used pipes and on KSL.com's website.
Oh, really?
Pipe that's, if you look in farm, agriculture, farm,
8-6.
Other stuff. There's some guy up north at Selman. What's the diameter of this?
6-inch.
I don't know. His was a lot of this old drill rod.
Right.
But I think it was mostly smaller than 6-inch.
Oh.
Did we check any face deal?
You know, I haven't.
That's where we got the square tube for the cattle guard stuff. It's kind of like face steel.
Right.
Well, we're looking at 9 sticks, 14 foot and less, or 10 foot.
I mean, 10s, 12s, and 14s.
Three of each?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you know, we can buy, you know, we can buy 120 and cut, you know, two out of it. But, you know, when you start getting into 12s and 14s and we got to buy a full stick, if we're buying it, unless we can find it used. But I'm still working on it, and I'll continue to work on it.
Okay.
Do you have a 6-inch pipe? What? Schedule
40? Schedule 46-inch.
How much do you need?
We need 3 14-footers, 3 12-footers, and 3 10-footers.
Do that again, Brent.
3 14s.
3 12s.
and three tenths. Yeah, if you check some of the people down there in Las Vegas, and then if you round it up,
6 inch can't be 5 inch or 4 inch.
It's got to be 6 inch. It can be. We just have to make sure that we're on the same page.
Yeah, we got to check. We're having building department.
You have to afford to hold up a lot of
right. I don't. That's never going to be the problem. If she has anything, it's going to be your cost. I mean, just for wind shear and stuff, you get 6 inches a lot sturdier that way than 4 inch. But if it was 5 or 5.5 or some odd size.
I think we're looking at extremes up there. You know, something that can hold 15 feet of snow and.
Yeah, but you're never going to buck a 4-inch schedule 45. You can put the bulldozer on it, and you're not going to buck a 45.
Especially for 14 foot length.
And Charlie, is this some of the metal and material that you donated years ago?
Yes. What I donated is strictly for the roof.
Right.
And we came up with 6-inch. I just threw it out there. Is there a reason why we said 6?
No, it is nicer. If it was 4-inch, we'd have to weld in some diagonal braces, but it would work if we can't afford it.
But you're saying the price rate might be different.
Because I've driven all over on these government places where coral sand-ins.
Yeah,
the ones they make, they're all 4-inch structural.
Yeah.
Okay.
Their weather can't be any worse than ours.
The ones Kinetic City has up there are 4-inch.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 6-inch or even 8, they look nicer. And then you have sturdy with the snow and wind blowing on it, but, you know, it's a matter of coming across what we can get salvaged that's cheap.
So if we go back to Vegas and we can find something, who would be notified?
Mm. Just call me or email me or call me.
We want to get a response back. Who's going to call?
And Brent,
email me.
Can you ask Barbara then when she looks at this to look at 4-inch?
I will ask her to. I'll ask her to.
Look. She'll approve both.
Okay.
Options. Great.
Can we talk about the solar system again? Just so you know, to keep my power up, I've had to run the generator quite a bit. Not a huge issue because we got to run the generator to pump water anyways, but I was kind of hoping maybe get a decision today.
Can we maybe talk about that after the board meeting? I don't really know that it's a board decision, but if we can talk with Vance and you and I after.
I'm just...
I don't see a reason why we need to hold up. It's obvious that we need them, so the question is just where do we get them and what's the...
Well, I just want to let the board know that there's a considerable amount of fuel being used, and that's kind of an issue.
I completely agree. Does anybody have any different feelings? We need to get them like that.
But just let me interject this. We had one of our panels go bad on the panel. This panel was 10 years old. We contacted Kyocera, whatever the brand name, and they sent us a brand new panel. We sent the other one back free of charge. They guarantee them for like 20 years. So if you pay a little bit more, you might get the value over time. Because
lightning strike or whatever. Well, we'll try to go through all of those, and they're not the manufacturer; they're just a distributor. So.
But just a thought on value in the
quality.
Long run, because they're going to continue to use them and require them.
Right. Okay.
I don't even have a receipt. I just gave the manufacturer data off the panel. They sent me a new prepaid mobile.
Yeah, maybe you could provide us a phone number of their
online. You know, going online and checking that, but we can provide you with that.
That'd be great.
That's all I have for
a I'm trying to move because I know some have to leave in about 30 minutes, so we got to get through this agenda.
No problem.
Stay and discuss those details.
Okay, so we've already covered several of these other things as far as that's just metal roof labor. You're going to work on that. Door to cabin number 6. We need to discuss that or don't.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we need to discuss it, really. It's just a matter of you guys approved the purchase of the door.
Right.
It's just a matter of picking it up.
He gave the dimensions.
Yeah.
So are you going to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in contact with, what's his name?
Brad Bull.
Okay. So number 14's done. Number 15, county zone changes.
I did the update on that.
Okay. Number 16, agenda item, request from Dale. Discuss 168.
You have the floor, Dale.
The letter that you sent us is or not? The letter that you sent us, you wanted on the agenda at item number 16.
Have you considered it, you know, quiet or what?
This board has not discussed it at all, so we welcome you to discuss it and present any thoughts that you have here. I think a good way to introduce it.
We just have been watching things that other friends need serious attention, and we're willing to put some effort into continuing to improve the area, and I need to know what the board wants us to, how you want us to do it, why you want us to do it. There's a great crop of willows and rose bushes growing up there now that really should be moved. And it'd be very nice if Paul can go ahead and...
Well, he's got pictures there. The battery died, I was going to show you.
He's already mowed half of them.
He's got several.
The other half, I just needed to get, you know, there's a question with that fence that was up there, whether take the fence down and mow the willows that were in it, or leave the fence up, or...
Aren't you going to take the fence down anyway?
Yeah. I've recently taken the fence down, mowed half of what was there, and the other half, I would have mowed the whole thing, but the pin on the PTO broke off, so
I think that's great. That's a thing that needs to happen.
I think it needs to happen, yeah.
And the rightful thing is for it to do it.
Yeah.
So we don't need to worry about that. If the fences are going to be repaired or replaced, okay, I don't need to worry about that. They're in terrible shape. I guess should have been done something 2 or 3 months ago before the little ones got there. But if you're going to take care of that, then I don't need to worry about it. Your water filing should be made on one of the water sources up there. I would like to go ahead and work some on D, spring development. If the upper water system becomes condemned, because it's serving more people than the state will allow, and if that spring doesn't produce the volume, then I think the spring in the middle should be certified and determine whether it can be a public water system. Instead of it running down the channel for the next 30 years like it has been the last 30 years. I talked to the engineer about going in and boxing that spring up and then putting pipe from there down to the hidden cabin area. A pipe could be put over to that 4,000 gallon bearing tank at the bottom that can furnish those four cabins. A pipe could be put over towards the old fending cabin for water at that location. And see what could be done before getting that system fully approved for culinary purposes. Require quite a bit of pipeline to get down there, and because I have some lots in that area, I would be interested in working on it and covering with the board what you may think about as far as budget or what needs to happen in the improvement of water right we filed on many years ago, and then the state lost it. Last year, we were able to resurrect it to get it so that it has now been approved and is in the state water system.
They had no record of it whatsoever. We have paperwork in our files that proves that they approved it, sent it to them, and resurrected and saved that water file.
So, it's, there's, I had an engineer in there last week that looked at three or four of the springs and said he would be happy to study and engineer a system. He said, I believe that we can double the yield of those springs, but more importantly, just to see if that one can be improved to be certified by the state as a public drinking water system. And that would make it available either for the pavilion or down at the fish ponds or the hidden cabin or any of that carry down through there. So I think that's a very critical item to work on. You're already working on number D, the cabin renovations. Talked about building some RV pads. I understand some of you do not think that that's necessary or desirable. Constructing a pavilion. We got blueprint drawings for a larger and a better pavilion than the one you're talking about. I suggest that there might be a combination, but you're going to have yours built by annual meeting. Then I'd say that'd be a good idea. Talked a little bit about rebuilding the family cabin and the hidden cabin. And those take a lot of work, effort, thought, planning as to why that actually happened.
Can I say something about those? I thought, and I don't know if this is even something you can do, but those should be able to be built, rebuilt for only the cost of material if we planned it ahead of time and had somebody to direct what's going on and say, this week, we're, you know, plan it for next year, whatever week, we're going to rebuild this cabin. Anybody interested in doing that, come up and do like we're doing for the pavilion, have a barn raising and have people come in and help build it so that, because people like that idea, but it's too expensive to have somebody, you know, to contract somebody to do it, and none of us individually have the time to do it, but if we all cooperate and do it all together, I don't know, why couldn't we do it that way?
Don't come in when you're required on the building.
No, because all you're going to do is rebuild what's already, repair what's already there, right? Pretty much, kind of.
Well, you're, if it's occupied, I think.
But they're not going to, they're just landmarks that are not, they're not occupied.
Yeah.
Just a historical landmark kind of thing.
I think a group effort would be great on this. And it would be just the cost of materials. And I don't know. I think we should be able to save a lot of that material that's there and just kind of re-erect it.
So I think it's an excellent idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever. They are.
It would have to be considered that no occupancy, otherwise we'd need a permit, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's classified, like you say, as a new safety thing. Yeah. And I think we'd be good.
So, again, one of the ideas, Joe, is are these things even deserved?
So
the rebuilding of those two cabins,
didn't we have money on the budget for that? For the cabin restoration?
We had a lot of discussion about that, and we decided to put the money into the barn. It was one of the things that we kind of pulled back out.
Right.
Instead of the cabins, we did put some money into starting to send my wife to some classes. I think she went to the first one of the series, and then we kind of then we changed our priorities.
We had special money set aside in that barn.
Right.
That was money before that we had chosen to vote on that and have that done. That was
years ago. Well, we made the decision to try to save something that was standing
and that's ahead of
something that had already fallen down. And we have made a lot of great progress this year on
it. And part of it isn't just assembling the Lincoln logs.
Right.
It's
right.
They're going to need some new logs to replace the ones that were either damaged or
right.
Rotted away.
A lot of people should be able to.
Ed's watch. Where are we going to go?
That's great.
Save
your time.
I have an intro on the cabin, on the Henry cabin, the cousin cabin. Like, well, you know, I look at this, I'm thinking, I live on the lower part of the lot, so if I can get there all summer long and pretty accessible, I'm like, yes, these are historical things, but why would we put the money towards something like that? Couldn't that money be used to increase accessibility to some of the higher lots to get more lockdown for those people? I know this season, with all that rain, even getting in and out from where I was slippery, icky. And I'm thinking, God, would I be mad if I lived here and had this property for 6-7 years, and I wouldn't go up to my cabin, even with my ATV, I wouldn't go up there this last summer with the rain. I'm thinking, what if these people came up for their vacation for 2 weeks, a week, or whatever, and you can't even get up there? Or, like you said, get stuck at cabin once, you can't get down for the Ranch Olympics. Like, wouldn't money be better spent doing more rock on that road up there? Most people can do that.
I think that could be part of et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Now, that's
I think that should be considered there.
All that falls into the money coming out of the budget, and let's find out what those things cost, like, to rebuild those and on the back burner. That's my thought as a member. And I don't live up on the top, so it's like, it doesn't benefit me at all. But I think, oh, I would be mad.
As far as this pavilion, which is built, when it's built, like, there's going to be adapting facilities in place. Because if you get a bunch of people up there, there aren't enough bushes that hide behind
them. We've had a port line up there servicing the pond area.
We were talking about flushing
toilet.
We were talking about cinder blocks building a bathroom area and with a skylight or a solar or something. That's what we had talked about years ago. If we had built that pavilion there, is what we wanted to do. And, you know, building it with the concrete blocks, a bathroom facility. You have the water there. So anyway, that was something that we had also considered as part of something important if you put the pavilion there. And it would be permanent rather than putting out $50.
You have 1 minute remaining on your card.
I think this is just the start, you know, building a pavilion right now, and I think we've all talked about, you know, building something up there as far as restrooms go,
right.
Like what the state does up in the forest and things like that. You know, it's all just a start. I like how the progress we're moving. You know, we got the barn done this year. We're looking at getting the pavilion done, you know, next year, maybe later this year, starting to get some new posts in on the barn.
Let's get back to Dale's list and his ideas and whatever feedback or recommendations that there are on that.
We have talked about a new set of crails up there, a new set of crails at the home place. I'd like for some of you to do whatever you want to do at the home place, but my suggestion is that we might take the lead on
the balance on this pin is not enough for this call. To buy more minutes, select the purchase additional minutes option from the main menu. To make a call, press 1. To purchase additional minutes, press 2.
Thank you.
I think the metal panels are fine as a stopgap temporary thing, but I don't think it adds to the atmosphere of an old cattle ranch. So that was 9J. okay with being part of the spring development. Spring, the water, the ability to move that water back and forth to water some of the dry benches and use the water as it used to be in pioneer days. And so, K and D are kind of together. My interest in the reason for sending the board the letter was to say if the board has a desire or sees that these are even necessary, and if you want us to take some of the lead and see what they get done, I think tremendous headway was made on the big reservoir and water channel in the north. Bear Pond, the other water reservoirs on the ranch, and to zero in particularly on what's happening at the upper end. My feeling was that you've got plenty of things to do on the balance of the acreage. Go for it. And if you want us to, we can take some leadership on the upper 680 acres, whatever we need. So just a suggestion that we see things that should be done, could be done, and if you have an interest, they can be discussed. Determine whether they're going to cost the ranch anything or whether or not how much funding is needed and where it should come from before we start looking at any of those things. I wanted to find out whether the board had any interest in these items and their improvement, or if you saw other things in that upper acreage that needs attention. I don't really see this competing, Jody, with whatever others may want to do on that lower end.
It all comes down to dollars, that's all.
What?
This all comes down to dollars, that's all. What budget we have.
There's no dollars for budgets involved.
So we need to finance it, you know, the money for the project.
Somebody needs to detail that out.
Yeah. So when you consider long-term goals, this might be something in the area that you might consider as long-term goals. Maybe you could think of it outside of 5 years or 10 years, some of the items that are here, because it all is part of the ranch. Now, the grading is all important. It always has been. We've done an awful lot over the last 5 years. But I believe some of these, my personal opinion, are valuable to the quality of the ranch. But they cannot be budgeted for the amount that you need presently. But if you did a long-term goal and look at it in those terms, perhaps little by little, as Paul had stated, maybe we could start working on some of these items that wouldn't cost a lot of money. But let's say in 5 years, we could see one of the cabins, the Finley cabins, being reconstructed with the help of members, and therefore not be as expensive to us. And taking that into consideration, as I reviewed the financial, I saw a certain amount of money allocated for helping the cabins out. Now, it's taken us 3 or 4 days here to work on Cabin 8, but if some of that allotted money was used on those cabins, that would help Cabins 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I think that if we looked at the budget, what do we have and how is it going out, maybe some of these items can be fixed, again, on a long-term goal. And if we looked at it that way, like as you said, we're doing the pavilion long-term, because I talked about that 5 years ago. Looking at the barn, we talked about that 5 years ago. It's all getting done. If we look at it in terms of not just today, we can't afford it, but the long term, and I keep stressing that,
I think it's something that is feasible and a quality to the whole ranch, as well as breeding. That's where I'm coming from as a member.
Well, maybe I can add a little calibration in here. This is the first year that we separated out the budget in terms of capital and expenses for tax purposes so that we could focus on doing capital improvement projects instead of just chewing up the budget every year on expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've made that change. When you look at this budget report, it really doesn't show because we've had to report the expenses a little bit differently. We have spent money on the cabins, but it doesn't show up on the cabin line item. We probably need to rectify that some. With that being said, we tried to allocate 30 to 40% of our budget towards capital improvements rather than just expenses. And so I think we've got 40% of the fees as they come in now being allocated for tax purposes to capital improvement projects, and so that we can also work on a project that might take more than 1 year to save for. We had no way that we could hold funds over at the end of each year previously. So we kind of got to the end of each year and we were ferreting away the small amounts of money that we had rather than saying, hey, that's $10,000 more for the pavilion next year or for the ranch improvements next year. So we changed that account. At the first of our budget year, we also went through and did all of our project lists. We gathered our ideas. We asked for members lists. We got lists from Dale. And I think that with the exception of maybe the hidden cabin and the water development, all of these things were on the list. We had about 40, 50 items, as I recall, initially. We pruned them down this year to a list of our 10 or so capital improvement projects that we've been working on. And so that's why you see, you know, the barn, the pavilions, they've been talked about for 10 or 15 years. And so I think we've made a good bend in direction this year that will stay. Also, I'd like to comment that Paul and Nancy have been doing a pretty good job of managing expenses so we don't just continue to chew up all of our money in utility bills and ranch fuel and a variety of other things like we have sometimes. So I think we have to make our list of our 50 things. We have to prioritize them. We have to budget for them. And we need some kind of a process where we reach consensus. This year, we went through that project. This year, I've been somewhat dogmatic about saying, no, we're not going to take on a brand new project just because somebody came up with it when it was not on the list. And I think by the time we get through the end of the year, we'll be able to see that we've probably hit 80% of our goals. And I think every year then we need to, again, submit what's the list. And so, you know, I met a little bit with Dale on this before, and my thoughts are, yes, we're interested in all of these things. And we're interested in people taking a leadership role and helping in all of these things. But we have to get all the ideas, and we need to weed them down to what, you know, fits within our financial and our labor resources. And there are some projects that maybe aren't on the priority list, but somebody has a personal interest in doing it, and they're willing to cover the lion's share of the finance, and we, you know, just need to provide a little bit of direction. And so we've been trying to facilitate those as we go. So I think we can say to all of these, Dale, if you wanted to do them because of your personal interest, we'd be happy to give you a green light. Go ahead and do it. If, on the other hand, I think to some degree it's going to have to at least fall within our priorities for budgeting, we'd have to say, okay, you know, how much of this budget you know, each of these items probably need a little bit of evaluation to say, you know, this is a $5,000 item. This is a $70,000 item. And so, you know, how does that, you know, ferret out within within our budget? And we need to do that this fall so we have preparation for next year. But that's kind of my feelings. It's a good list, and we need this list as we prepare for going through that project. And your idea to kind of take on some leadership in the upper end may be helpful. Also allow you to focus, you know, better as well. So I think that's great.
Well, I think Dirk Pat and I have put in my made a list. We put in probably enough money the last 4 or 5 years in the CSR with projects only 2,000 acres to work to with people about what this would cost. We may pay the whole thing. I think that members and the board should get serious look at them and decide, are they really charitable? Is this the direction we want to go? And maybe the one item, the board would say, hey, if we split the cost 50-50, the dust carry a half of it and the board carry a half of it, it may be an ideal way of going.
Right.
There may be some of these things that we will pay the entire amount on. And we can't say today, yeah, we're going to do it. I think that it's a growing thing where you have to get past A before you go to B. But my interest was to ask if there was a sincere interest in seeing that upper end manicured and improved, or if we should say forget it and I think that there's too many things at the lower end for some of you to work on without holding up things on the north end until maybe 20 years before there's money and leadership to make some of the improvements up there. I think some of them need to be made immediately, and we're willing to commit some time and money to at least review and plan and see if it can come together. Well, I like your comments of at least opening the door and seeing whether we should, rather than saying, no, let's not even look at it.
Well, and maybe another thing, like Mrs. Bogey pointed out, we did a good job of saying this is this year's projects. We need to say this is next year's projects, and this is the next and the next and the next, so we have a 5-year plan of how we'll kind of take care of things.
And as far as, you know, this whole plan here, I think it was established at the last annual meeting that if you want to proceed with something like this, plans need to be made, drawings need to be drawn up, finances got to be figured out, the cost of these projects, and then take it to the board and let's look at those and the cost and see, then prioritize from there. So I don't think giving the green light go at this point in time without having those things in place is the right thing to do.
I think all we're saying is there are enough interest to put the time and energy to do that background work. And I would say, there's enough interest. And frankly, if somebody came to me today and said, hey, I'm going to take care of rebuilding the Finley Cabin at my cost and my energy, and I would just say, great.
Go for it.
I'd like to have a little bit of information so we know you're not just going to tear it down and not have enough resources to actually finish it, and some confidence of what you're doing. But,
and a plan.
Yeah. I mean, we just need, you know, to know where we're headed. So
okay.
I think that's an excellent comment that we need to have Before we can prioritize, we need to know the dollar amount, we need to know the plan.
And isn't there, I know there is in Arizona, isn't there a historical society or historical somewhere that you can get grants to rebuild historical buildings, or just not considered
to apply for it?
So we could do maybe grant money to get the materials and then everybody can labor. I know they do that in Arizona all the time, so I don't know what qualifies to be
getting a grant for that. The thing we've got besides the Finley Cabin is, are we after a historically accurate restoration, or are we after something that looks good and will be there for 30 years when it's done, but it may have a lot more new parts than restoring the old parts.
If you wrote a grant for money to do this, would that mean that, you know, the public, not just the thought?
I don't
that
know.
That would be another question.
But I know that the historical would be in line with what
it's pretty much a private deal.
True restoration.
That's true.
You know, and we did enough work. My wife actually went to Snow College class this year to start looking. And if you look at historically restoring something to its accuracy of and trying to reuse the materials that are there, I think my guess is it's a big enough thing that we'll never do because of the kind of specific skills that it requires is not going to be found in the pool of our volunteers. But if we're looking at saying, well, you know, let's break this thing apart and set the label and set materials aside that are usable here, and materials that might have some usability here, materials that are totally gone here, and start building this up and refill everything that we need to with the proper foundation first and stuff, then it would probably be doable, but it, you know, wouldn't be something that a grant would ever fund because it would be way outside of what they would consider a historic restoration.
And when you deal with the historical people, and you got somebody with their nose in your business, and I'm not opposed to doing it and doing it nicely, but the one thing I know, I wasn't involved with it, but we were talking about renovating this one coffee shop that we had. And the Historical Society of Ogden came down, and it turned from a relatively simple project into a complete can of worms, and it went from a few thousand dollars of renovation just to upgrade a couple of things to well over $100,000 because we had to do it historically accurate. And so we just said, no thanks.
That bring up a point. It was mentioned, I don't think of an action item, about replacing the grill using metal panels, and what Dale's mentioned, using poles instead. Is this something that, when it happens, if it happens, it's going to be next spring?
You know what? The only reason I brought up panels is we have a lease with Doug Hunt, 10 years, I believe, up on Deer Springs property and throughout the BLM. And his suggestion was rip everything out and put in metal panels. He probably wishes he could be here today just to, you know, talk for himself. But he suggested put metal panels in there. It's going to last 100 years where you get some of this lumber, unless it's really thick, you know, material that like Brett can produce, and it's heavily built. Yeah, but that was his suggestion.
Well, and then
metal panels.
My suggestion would be go with the poles, do it, plan it. If it has to be this fall, then obviously we budget however much, but go that route instead. A metal panel.
I love the whole metal pole idea.
And not
right. The whole welded steel together, I think, is a great idea.
Oh, but he's talking wooden poles.
Right.
Wooden poles. And it isn't going to last 5 years.
Right.
But it is going to last.
Just like the round pen that Vance put together there.
Yeah.
Could be that style.
Mm-hmm.
or it could be logical or whatever we use, but it looks better and, you know, it doesn't last forever, but...
Well, I agree. I mean, that round pen that was built, I think that was built to last forever. And you look at how... And I don't know what Doug's reasoning is. I think it's possibly to where he can take one side and open it up. You know, so it's kind of mobile a little bit. But that's just coming from Doug and what he is.
I'm pretty sure Doug would be happy with a good set of,
yeah,
of anything.
Yeah, he just wants functional trail.
My concern, George, was if you want to take the next 3 or 4 months and study this thing through, I think this would be wonderful. Or if anybody else here, I think there's got to be that kind of effort put into it. And I'm willing to spend some time on it. If not, if somebody else here will do all that groundwork, no power to it.
But I think before Dale even mentioned here, the comments were coming from Paul, the need because of Doug had his cattle, etc. Mike, and you were saying that you wanted to do it by the fall or sometimes before it got too cold or wintry. Maybe bring pictures of the various kinds that you can have prevented, of what you'd like to do, what kind of prices are you looking at, what time frame can you complete it, and if you want to do it by fall anyway, it would be a time that all of it could be looked at and the board could make some sort of a decision on at least the lower part versus the upper part. But like you said, get some of that stuff in so that everyone can see it and make a decision at that time, whatever it may be.
And I think do all you can. This stuff is not going to be done between now.
Yeah, I'm talking about the
wonderful
corrals.
Go ahead and do the
corrals down.
All the
and then depending on how it looks, a decision could be made later.
No, the only reason I decide, you know, we've always talked about redoing the corrals. And I kind of want a uniform thing throughout the headquarters. Now, up in the meadow, I agree. I think building something that looks more like a cattle ranch is a little bit better. But down at headquarters, I think trying to keep a uniform deal throughout, so we're not having black vinyl here, 2x4 wire here, you know, wood here. Just start somewhere. And I think, you know, 5 years from now, it would all look.
Well, it is started. I think by the granary, all that.
Yeah.
So, and that's the cold coming in.
Yeah.
The cold is coming in. They've got down there.
Maybe
the climbing wall needs to
stop. Okay. The big
question. Then it's just got started, right?
Yeah.
Keep it.
One quick question for Dale. I know you as a meticulous planner. And I imagine you have a timeline you thought about. Or maybe not. But if you do, what are you thinking as far as how you'd like to see this unfold? How much time?
Well, I think that whole group, I don't think the cabins are going to be redone and preventing and all those things. I think 5 or 6, 10 years.
Fair enough.
I mean, it's easy to put 10 items on the sheet.
Right.
And somebody start worrying about, oh, it's going to be too many people, yeah, it's going to cost too much.
But when
we just can't do something like right. this.
With your experience, you would know, you know, how hard it is to get
so you don't
the
tree overnight.
Material hauled out there. And so I kind of figured you had something in mind as a timeline. And we're all talking about the same 5 years. I just want to make sure yours was really different from ours.
You got to start.
Yeah.
And there'd be a lot of a lot of phone calls and things during the next 6 months.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Well, and I do have to admit that upper end does get neglected as far as time goes. You know what I mean? There's only so much time in a day.
Well, you can't be there.
Yeah.
You have to pull out of it earlier in the year.
Right.
Do you have enough direction on this discussion, Dale, from or do you need to get some more direction? Or?
I have heard from several board members whether it's desirable or whether they want to try.
I think it's completely desirable. I want you to go ahead and do what you feel like you want to start working on, and I want to make sure that we follow through on it so you have don't feel like in the end you've wasted your time on any of it.
That's always a concern.
Oh, it is.
There's something that almost anybody can do. I mean, I can go smoke willows, but I can't do the water. Dale is an expert. He's an authority. He knows the state laws, and he understands, and he's had experience. If there were just, you know, some particular things that he could be assigned by the board to investigate, look into, project out prices, whatever, and then with the board's approval, do something. The water's all going to waste, which is ridiculous.
Well, and I don't think there's any disagreement at all. We try not to use the term spurt and water system in the same thing. But I say go ahead with anything you feel comfortable with going ahead with and looking into it, presenting a plan, and I think everything you've got here are more than reasonable requests. And I'm not opposed to RV pads. I think that there'd be a good spot. I didn't know you had a plan in mind for a pavilion that's different than what we're looking at. I mean, that's new information to me. But one of the things that I'm really concerned about, is that you have something in your mind that you want it to end up looking like. Okay, I can't speak for anyone else, is that I need to be able to see your plan in my head too. If that makes sense. You know, like, for example, if building this pavilion out of, you know, 6-inch Schedule 40 pipe maybe isn't what you've had in mind. Maybe you had in mind cedar posts. I those are all things that I'm looking at from a standpoint of what your vision is. It's like the corral stuff. I think the metal panels are a fast, easy way to do stuff. But is it aesthetically pleasing? Is it something that you want to sit up there on the deck of Cabin 1 and look at? You know, does it present that picture of what the meadow is and all those things? And I think that you, from my perspective, you can go ahead and do whatever you want as far as planning goes. But I want to make sure that you get the support you need so you don't waste your time.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like we kind of insisted last year that we mow on brush. What a beautiful sight that was this year, to not have the brush, to have all that crisp wheat out across there. There's still a lot of acres that need to be brushed, taken off of. And it's simple enough that equipment is there, and it will beautify the ranch, and it's not an expensive thing. So I'm delighted that you're talking about willows and rose bushes and sagebrush. We're not clearing land and cutting a bunch of trees. We're just merely maintaining or cleaning up some of the areas that's easy to clean up. These things, I think the fences have got to be done. I think there's things on here. And I just thought that Matt and I would put forth some effort on these because there's not enough hours a day to do what should be done down the headquarters.
And that's one of the things that I can honestly say, being there all the time. I mean, when you go down to the headquarters at 9 o'clock at night and Paul's out welding on cattle guards after being up early and working all day long and going in and eating dinner and then going out at 9 o'clock at night and welding on cattle guards, there's only so much time. You know, there's so many projects. It's all, you know, it's
cooler at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, well, it's a bigger project. The whole ranch is a bigger project than one person can do. And it's totally, and that's why when you have people taking on some responsibility for renovating the cabins, that helps, because that's something that
Paul doesn't have to worry about it. Then you have Dave doing all the work that he's doing, so Paul doesn't have to worry about it. All of those things really come together. So, and I'm only speaking for myself, I don't see anything on your list that I couldn't support. I think it's all good ideas and all worthwhile. I used to agree with Jody all the time, but then I found out about her hair dryer issues, and so that came up. I'm wondering about her thought processes.
Dale's going hair dryer.
My point is that you can. I don't see anything on your list that I don't support.
I want to put it in writing so that Candy and Joe can say that's a stupid idea, or Jody, or anybody, you know, can say, why in the world did you put that item on there? We've already done it, or we've already decided not to do it, and time's too short. I don't want to waste a lot of time and money in playing games. And I'd like to see some of the things done that are very obvious.
Can we take this a step farther and in our newsletter list what our priorities are and beg, solicit, encourage, whatever we call it, members to do some of these projects? There may be someone that has the experience,
and
let's have that together.
We have done that in the past, and it's a very good idea for a newsletter after the election to have a list like that put out there.
And it does two things. One, it lets everybody know what direction we're headed in, what our plan is, and two, there's going to be someone that has the expertise to do some of these things, and somebody may adopt a cabin, somebody may do a water system or whatever it is, but at least we're involved and we're members. At least half the time that I've been to the ranch, we've always tried to do something. We've tried to accomplish something.
Right.
And it ends up being the reason why we go, because if we don't have something scheduled, then it becomes that other thing on the priority list that goes farther down. We don't end up going to the ranch. But if we have something to do, something to accomplish, it's always been, it ends up being the reason why we go, and we do accomplish things. So I wish that could be something that we mentioned in our newsletter and hopefully encourage some people that don't even go to the ranch. That may be the way that they pay their membership fee. So I know we've talked about that before, and we need to be careful, but still it allows people that opportunity that otherwise they're going to either get behind, we don't have the funds anyway, or they end up losing a lot.
It's been a while, but we've done it in the newsletter before.
Yeah.
It's just been a while. Long enough that you haven't seen it.
People may sound redundant, like I'm saying it again and I need your help again, but the timing may not be right for somebody, and they may see it again and go, oh, yes, I can help at that time. So I don't think it will hurt anything to ask for assistance, to ask to be part of the ranch.
It might be just materials, or it might be labor, or it might be both.
Just have a toll gate until the cattle guard comes in.
There you go.
What are you going to work on? Huh? Nothing? You're out of here.
Because it hasn't been put into our budget, we can't really make an official nomination to work on the water rights, but can we get the go-ahead unofficially and get that going on those water spill springs up there in the upper middle? Is that something that would be appropriate?
What we've said is we're not at a point of even making a decision because we don't have any information to make a decision about blah. So
I think that
we just said, as Brent said, yeah, go ahead and work on your plans. And we're, you know, after the annual meeting, we'll be starting to put together the project list again, and it will be perfect timing to have that list amongst the other items to start to flesh out. So.
Would it be something we could do at the end?
Yeah, I've got to try to meet with Barbara.
I think we could at least have some discussion about what does everybody think we need to do and generate the ideas.
Our time in Las Vegas. You too.
What's that?
Did the priority list go through it all?
I don't think we'll have that ready for the next
meeting.
Same process we went through last year. We'll try to do it again, so that we'll start January 1st with our new budget, our new list, our new marching orders, our new priorities, our new people.
Oh, one other thing on all the stuff. The buttons have many, many, many locks, including some in the 25 foot or so length that we could use to repair the barn. I'm going to talk to Nolan Button. He has been over there a couple of times hauling his dozer over to do some work for him. I'm going to ask him what he would charge to go over there with his semi and flatbed and haul them all at once for us. Not to bring them out to the ranch, because it's hard to get anybody to come out to the ranch, but to drop them in his yard, and I'll go in and pick them up and haul them out there. Anyway,
where are they at now?
They're on the co-op. They're up on the co-op.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's
going there anyway.
But they, yeah, anyway, I'm going to see what he would charge us, and then I will, because there's a whole bunch of logs there that I'm going to use, that I have uses for, and multiple uses for ranch work stuff, too. There's a lot of lumber. I mean, we're talking a lot of lumber. But I might ask the ranch for a couple hundred bucks towards the hauling thing. I'll cover the other portion of it, but I'll probably ask for a couple hundred bucks.
That one main corner?
Yeah.
Right. You're looking at digging a hole and putting a sauna tube and putting the post actually in concrete.
What's wrong with that corner, the column itself has
kinked at the top. And so the beam is now only sitting on about that much of that column. And that's because that has torqued off, and it's actually developed a big bend in it. And because of the nature of it, we can probably pull that column back under the beam, except then we're going to have a big bow, kind of a bow coming out the front. And the column itself, or the weight itself, will not be going in a vertical plane. It will actually be axial or almost a shear load on that column. And so.
Well, none of the posts are in the ground.
Yeah, and all the posts are sitting on railroad ties. And so, but they've got enough long trees that I could cut some. I'm pretty sure I could get something in a 12 by 12 off the mill in a 25 foot length, and we would have a good solid column to replace those corners. And that one corner has been pieced together. It's got fish plates on it, the one we fixed. And that one is pulled out from the mortise and tenon joint there. And, I would feel 200% better about that barn if we could replace those three front columns and the two beams, and then I wouldn't even ever worry about it. You know, Paul's already worked on the cabling and tensioning things up and pulling things back together and stuff. It's just that beam is sitting on only this much of that column, and if it was some way we could actually straighten that column, like retorque that column back into position, I'd be good with it, because it's not too bad. But that one end that we fixed with the plate, yeah, it's strong. It's strong, but everything just keeps shifting out because they're not tied in the ground.
I tried pulling that in, and it won't pull in. I tried pulling an end up on the
right,
pulling the beam in up on the post. It wouldn't go in.
Yeah. And so anyway, I'm just looking at that forklift will lift up to 30 feet. And so we could actually lift it up, hold that one corner up, pull that column out, put a new column in,
and you know, with a concrete base that's embedded in the ground so it's not going to slide off the hill, and then set that or set the beam back on top of it and have a good sturdy corner. Even if we only did that one corner, I feel 100% better about it, you know. But they've got, like I say, they've got all these big long timbers, and they're going to go for logs, and they're going to cut them up and turn them into firewood if we don't pick them up and turn them into lumber.
Hey, all the wood that all the wood that came off the roof.
I think you
want to put on eBay.
Yeah, we can afford. We can maybe buy some.
All the wood that came off the roof.
I second the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.